Come on board, you people. Starship Procon Show with Anna DeBlasis up for another day of broadcast. Excellent.
An eventful day in the world.
Yeah.
Kinda. You
know, what was interesting about this out in Washington, what do we call that? Over by Washington?
Mm-hmm.
What's interesting is that this is the first time ever there was public testimony of witnesses against a president in an impeachment in the House of Representatives. There have been two trials, you know, and Nixon never got to this point. But there never was a public, Andrew Johnson and in Bill Clinton, all of the impeachment investigation stuff was done like it had done before. It was done, by deposition. And then the House voted on it, went to the Senate for the trial in those two particular cases. So this a pretty historic day. The reason I bring that up is it was an historic day. And there was a lot that was covered here. It's interesting because Republicans are basically making the argument that no harm, no foul. They ended up getting their money. They ended up getting their defensive weaponry. They ended up, Ukraine got what it wanted. It didn't have to open an investigation. Doesn't matter if the president, and the idea is that the president, if you watched Jim Jordan, who was like the chief prosecutor guy, he's a guy that doesn't wear a suit coat.
Former wrestler guy.
Because he looks like it.
He was.
He's got that wingspan-y kind of thing going. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And he's pugilistic. He's got that whole thing going. I like to call him shirtless Jim Jordan.
Because he's one of those guys that goes to the beach and just can't wait to get the shirt off.
Yeah, I think
the pool,
so.
The community pool, the Y, wherever.
I think one day he should show up in the committee just wearing a tie and no shirt. just keep breaking it down. I think there's a way to do that. Anyway, he's making the point that the president is this. Where does this stand? This stands that the president didn't. He may have asked for an investigation into corruption. Sure, that's an appropriate thing to do. It just happened to be very focused. That's the only problem with that argument. It was the corruption investigation was specifically focused on Joe Biden and Hunter Biden. And Joe Biden was at that time, I think Donald Trump considered him to be his chief rival. Turns out now Pete Buttigieg is going to be his chief rival. Let's see what happens there. that's going to be something. But that's where it is, and that's where the Republicans are saying. And they had these two guys, the two witnesses today, Mr. Kent, you had, and the ambassador and Ambassador mm-hmm. Taylor. I mean, those were guys who were very, those are State Department guys. They're wingtip shoe wearing. Brooks Brothers suit wearing.
Usually lifers.
Guys.
Quick to point out, both of them, I believe, today that, we're not rooting for either side here. We are here to state our case of what we know, and that's it. This isn't, to them, the point they were making is this isn't political.
Right. And Ambassador Taylor is a decorated Vietnam War veteran. Was fifth in his class at West Point out of 800. So, they wanted to build up his resume and his credibility. And it did seem credible. And he was concerned about what he was seeing. And he dropped a bit of a bombshell. If you didn't follow this, he, right in his opening statement, he dropped a bombshell that apparently both sides knew was coming because they didn't really pick up on it very much during the questioning, just a little bit. I would have, based on what it was that there are... people who were in a meeting with that other ambassador, Sondland, who was the ambassador to the European Union, who was a significant Trump donor, or at least a donor to the inaugural committee,
mm-hmm.
which where you can donate unlimited dollars. It's not like a political campaign. You can give $1 million to the inaugural committee, and then they use it for the inauguration. Or not. They can move it. They can do other things. It's for ceremonial kinds of things. So it's a little bit on the that's a super donor side. That's the people who are really super, super wealthy. Anyway, Ambassador Sondland had a conversation at a restaurant with the president on a cell phone, and people around the table heard the president's comments during that phone conversation. This had come to Ambassador Taylor's knowledge that this event happened, that these people heard the president talking about this, and now everybody's jumping to go see if they can find the people who were at that table and what it, exactly was it that was heard. But what Sondland reportedly said was the president's more interested in Biden than he is in the Ukraine.
And I think what Jim Jordan's point that landed some laughter between he and Ambassador Taylor was when he said, but you heard it from Sondland, who Sondland talked to the president of Ukraine, and there kind of was this whole chain that went up and back before it came back to you, pointing out that this isn't direct knowledge, was what Jim Jordan was trying to state, and that
shirtless Jim
they
Jordan
don't have that.
Yeah, he will, although they're going to go try to find those people now. So anyway, that's where it was left. I don't know that there was a whole lot of blood drawn here. We're going to find out what happened in Chicago. Something very interesting happened in Chicago. Paul Lizick's going to join us in just a second from the WGN-TV newsroom. But first, Lauren Lapko, what's happening on the roads and in the sky?
It's an annual tradition like no other. Join WGN Morning News' Dan Ponce, Lauren Jiggets, and Sarah Gindra for Chicago's Thanksgiving Parade. Thanksgiving morning starting at 8 a.m. on WGN-TV. I know it's early to get up, but that is the most underrated parade in the entire history of parades. It is so fun. It is a hoot out there every year.
That's what those people who do the Wiggums Parade or whatever up on the north
right,
side of the lake.
Right, everyone participates.
Oh, my God, it's the most amazing thing.
No, this really is. This really is. It's they have great floats and everybody's in this great spirit. I love it.
Does Sarah Gindra have to fly over the thing in the helicopter? Is that how she does it?
They might have a helicopter component. I know they...
Bozo shows up at that thing, too, I think.
I think Bozo does. They have, great dancers. They have really good floats.
Okay. All right.
So go to that.
Paul Lizick is joining us. He's the political editor at WGN-TV, and he's... you can also see him on the CLTV often after our program. You're wearing a bow tie today.
I wanted to dress up the place. Ben Bradley's not going to do it, so I, somebody's got to do it. By the way, I'm on the WGN float on Thanksgiving. It is a blast. The crowd keeps yelling. I think they're saying Skilling and Bozo, but I just assume it's Paul.
Yeah, it
go
sounds
with that.
The same.
Yeah, go with that. That's
Paul.
Always a good one.
Skilling, Skilling.
So
thing.
Let's talk about City Hall today.
Yeah.
It appears that Lori Lightfoot goes down to Springfield to try to get some money for the city, and she comes back kind of
empty-handed.
Yeah, basically like the Monopoly guy, when you're on a chance card, you go, right. You're broke.
got nothing for you.
I got pulling his pockets out like, I got nothing. Look at that.
So you know what the real problem is, guys, is that when she first spoke to us in the city and the city council, her address, she basically talked about the fact that we were not going to get hit with new taxes except for $18 million to keep libraries open on Sunday. Although that actually wasn't truthful either. It's actually about a $65 million bill. There are other things that got passed during Rahm's tenure.
$65 million or 60, billion?
Million. No, $65 million. Yeah.
Million, okay.
And
I thought you said billion.
No, not that bad. No.
Get the Knarble wagon.
And that includes, part of that is $12 million that comes in every year as an increase. My point is, she made it sound as though the increase total is only going to be the 18, but it's not. It's 65, and that's before we get to CPS numbers, and that's before we find out that the Springfield did not come through with regard to the real estate transfer tax she wanted, the casino thing she wanted, and in fact, John Cullerton said today, he let it be known, and told our political reporter, Tamon Bradley, guess what? We're not dealing with the casino during this veto session, so it ain't happening until next year at the earliest.
Oh, my gosh.
So now what are we going to do?
Now get ready for your property taxes to go up if you live in the city of Chicago, because she doesn't really have that many options. So, the average home payer...
Was this plan B? Yes, plan B.
She's got a C and D, she said, but we're on B. I'm not sure she needs a C or D, because once you raise property taxes, hey, you've hit it, right? You're
already plan F.
You're already at that, right.
You're
plan, I'm in trouble.
Yeah.
Look, but even though she's kind of new to politics, some would say, or elected office, she's really pretty smart with this, because when she did her speech, essentially what she gets to do now, if we get hit with property taxes, it's not a done deal, but if that happens, she gets to basically say, hey, I didn't want this. I had an out. I didn't get help from Springfield. I didn't get the feds giving us the money they're supposed to get us for reimbursements. Don't hold me responsible for this. Might be the political position she's liable to take.
And are you saying, I'm sorry, you said that some of these property taxes were already passed under the Rahm Emanuel administration?
Yeah, there was, I've been talking about that on my show for a couple of years. There was an increase coming in 2020. No matter what, that was already a done deal. I remember this.
They do that because he knew he's not going to be here. Or if he was going to be here, he'd be so popular. The only reason he'd still be here is he won by 80%.
Yeah.
And somebody did win by 80%.
Yeah.
It just wasn't him.
And all 50 wards, too. That's right.
Yeah.
It was her. But, you know, you could politically have the discussion of, should she have always been saying, look, folks, there's going to be the $65 million increase. Don't hold me responsible. It preceded me coming in. Not the whole 65 minus 18. But this preceded me coming
in.
Just that we never heard about it. That's the issue. Yeah.
So she kind of got the no on both fronts then, the casino and this property tax,
correct,
this transfer tax issue, which was supposed to fill these holes in the budget.
It's a no for now, anyway. You know, one of the things Springfield has said through representatives, they said, look, it's not that we're not going to work with her, but you can't expect to come down here. You know, she went down yesterday for the day to, you know, let's make a deal. And they basically said, you can't show up like this and think we're going to, you know, my words, roll over and give you what you want. It doesn't work that way. So sure, we'll talk. Yeah. But this is going to take
some
time.
Why is it so controversial? The casino would benefit everybody with the Governor Pritzker's infrastructure bill built into some of the cash, $50 million, that would come from a Chicago casino that would actually be spread around.
Oh, there will be a Chicago casino, no question about that. That's not the problem.
Why can't we get it done?
Yeah, because who's getting what? That's the point. Mayor Lightfoot has basically said the percentage of income coming through the casino to the city, it's not going to work for me. It doesn't work. And the fees being charged, it's something like a $250,000 initial fee and license fees and on and on.
Casino operators,
right,
are the ones who are coming in and going, this doesn't make any sense because we got to build a physical place. We're going to be responsible for all this risk. And we also have got casinos. You got, I want to put this in Willie Wilson. You got a casino or two across the Indiana border.
You got
a casino out by O'Hare. And then you've got these what will basically be off-track betting parlors that are also going to be sports books. And the stadiums, stadia of Chicago are going to have. All of those places are going to have sports books in them.
Wow. But Willie's running for senator, so you haven't lost hope in him yet.
No. But I'm just saying, but the casino problem here in Chicago is you've got to be able to go in, give these guys an incentive, these casino operators. And I don't know, very few people feel sorry for casino operators. It's not like you sit around and you go, there's a casino operator in front of Starbucks asking for money. You don't immediately feel sorry for him.
No.
But they're business guys, and they know. And they're just like, you know, Chicago's a loser from our perspective as developers.
When all of them say they wanted to pass on it, that tells you something.
Yeah, well, first of all, we don't even know where it's going. So part of the question, aside from what percentages go to the state versus what comes to the city, who's going to control it, this is all what's still under discussion right now. We still don't know where it is. Remember, the report that the mayor got early on in her tenure gave five neighborhoods, none of which were downtown Chicago, to show us that that's where the casino would go. Now, let's bet on that one. I would go to Vegas and put my money on the fact that it will be downtown.
Yes,
maybe McCormick Place. But it will be downtown. Yeah,
but because if you want a casino and it's going to be in some far-flung neighborhood, it's hard to get to, and the people might be reticent to go to, you would rather go to Las Vegas. You'd rather go to O'Hare and get on a plane to go to Las Vegas. So that was dead on arrival anyway. Mm-hmm. And I understand that this is about giving back to the communities and all that. This is not a way. It's a casino. This is not the way to do it. You don't give back to the community by giving them a casino. Have you seen Las Vegas? Have you seen Atlantic City? Have you been down the boardwalk? This is not.
But, Ro, you don't even have to do that. Just drive your car across the border if you want, right?
Yeah, so that's the thing.
It's very simple to do that. And by the way, all of this discussion is including the fact that CPS struck their deal. They still have to vote on it this week. But that's a $500 million deal. Who do you think's paying for that? Taxes.
Oh, my God.
It's another part of the budget. But that is, I mean, it's not part of the budget Lori's talking about, Mayor Lightfoot's talking about.
You know what I would do if I were her?
What's that?
You know what I'd do if I were her? I would announce, first of all, I'm sure that she goes home at night and she says to her wife and family, and she's like, hey, listen, this job sucks. You have no idea how bad this job is.
I didn't think I'd win.
Right, and I would. Right, and I was making $1 million as a lawyer. So here's what we're going to do. Here's what we're going to do. I'm going to take these next 3.5 years, I'm going to do whatever I think is best for the city. Damn the torpedoes. I'm just going to do it and not run.
She seems to be doing that. She's trying to raise the
minimum
wage and some other things.
Remember, she said in her speech, too, she goes, look, if this is the price, she's referring to something else, but if this is the price I pay politically, so be it. She literally said those words. So you may be right.
Yeah.
I don't know that she wants to be a one-term mayor, although if Tony Preckwinkle's watching, she might want to be listening to that. But
No, she's not going to be mayor.
No, yet. I don't know. No. But I mean, but if, you know, if Lightfoot wants to be kind of a mayor for life situation here, look, she's doing what she thinks she does need to do, and maybe she's not paying attention to too many of the political consequences, at least from the world of city council and Springfield right now.
All right. Paul, I like your bow tie. I think it's quite a look. I know
you're classing the place up over
there. When you have Ben Bradley here next, why don't you say, what are you wearing a tie for?
I was on Mr. Cochran's show this morning. We were talking about one of the witnesses in the impeachment hearings today.
Kent,
was wearing a bow tie, right?
Yeah.
George Kent. And the bow tie, I only really admire the bow tie when doctors wear it so it's not a contagion vector. Right,
the long what about Fahey Flynn? This is the Fahey Flynn look.
Yeah.
Right. That's true. For those who remember Fahey Flynn, that is exactly right. Fahey Flynn used to fall asleep in the middle of a sentence at Channel 7, so that was a good way to do it.
What do you think I do? Exactly.
Yeah. All right, Paul, thank you very much.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks,
see you soon.
All right, Paul Lisnek from WGN-TV and, of course, also from CLTV, which we're on right now. That's where it is. All right, we will take you to the news here in just a couple of minutes. The president is speaking now. We'll get you some sound from that. Mike Monaco is going to be here a little bit later on. We got Christmas trees to give away and news or ruse coming your way in the 6 o'clock hour as well. Rokon Show with Anna DeBlantis right here on 720 WGN. You know, I would just like to say something. You know, our dear friends and partners at Northwestern, we're, you know, with Northwestern football and mm-hmm. basketball and all that.
Go Cats.
And a lot of people here went to Northwestern. You got mm-hmm. Mr. Cat, Dave Bennett. You got Anna DeBlantis.
That's right.
A fine Medill School of Journalism
there are a
graduate.
A number of us on staff here.
Yep.
And it was my safety school until I got into ISU, so I have a connection to the university as well.
You're the bird.
As you will recall, my mother dragged me by the ear up to the admissions office and then mm-hmm. yelled at them for not accepting me.
Yeah.
As I sat in the idiot chairs out in the waiting room and they still refused to accept me.
I'm surprised when your mom yelled at them for not accepting you, that didn't reverse things.
I thought, well, I think she thought it was going to reverse things. I just was humiliated. Anyway, the point is there's trouble up at Northwestern in their newspaper, the Northwestern, which is not, that's a student-run newspaper. And they had a headline that apologized for their coverage of a Jeff Sessions appearance. You know, he was speaking on the campus
mm-hmm.
and was invited by a conservative group. He goes and he's speaking, then there were counter protesters and they apologized in what Robert Feeder from the Daily Herald refers to as a sniveling apology.
Yeah.
to
now they apologize for the apology because they realized what they were doing was just good journalism. When they covered the protests to the Jeff Sessions appearance, and then they covered the students who decided to attend inside the speech and why they decided to show up for that. They were criticized apparently on social media for using a student directory to cross-reference the list of people who had RSVP'd for that event and then calling them up and asking them why they attended. They said, well, that's privacy, and that's not a good idea. Why would you do that? Well, I think that's what journalists do all the time, is they contact people and ask them if they want to comment on something, and if you choose not to, you don't have to. If you choose to, you can. They were being criticized and apologized for even contacting those people. They were also criticized for showing pictures, their staff photographer, of the protesters outside the Jeff Sessions speech.
Oh, we should never show pictures of the protesters.
Because you're traumatizing them. They're traumatized by his appearance, and you're re-traumatizing them, was the way
it went.
By putting their pictures in the paper. So they apologized for that as well. And it's been pointed out in the New York Times, the Washington Post, you just name it, nationwide, and journalism, all the journalism sort of push like notifications that I get and those kinds of things in the trade. It's just being, this is just good journalism, guys, and maybe it's a teaching moment, or maybe there's something more about the way universities operate, because their whole pushback was, far and above everything else, the most important thing is to respect safety on campus. And that's what everyone jumped
on. What was unsafe about covering this in the aftermath?
I know. It's not exactly clear, and I think now that they're seeing that actually was not a fair argument, that they were just doing their jobs as journalists. And what's required of you.
The young journalists on this show. This is a wuss move, right?
Well, definitely don't need to be apologizing for doing your job. I also think this is a great moment for some of these students to figure out, do you really want to do this? Because yes, you have to do this every day. You need to reach out to people that probably don't want to talk to you. You're going to get criticized. You're going mm-hmm. to get yelled at for just trying to do your job. Can you put up with that?
Yeah, apologizing because of feelings is the complete opposite of journalism. I mean, that's essentially what happened here.
We have no feelings here.
Well, they felt bad. No, they felt bad because some students felt bothered. And that's another component to it, is the way students were reacting to the newspaper as well, which some said was very aggressively. I mean, they were very, very upset with the student newspaper, but that's part of,
right.
That's part of it. That's your
oh,
I mean,
my
that's
God,
what
they
going
should read
on.
Our text line.
Yeah, to read our text line. I mean, imagine what, you know, reporters get in their inbox every single day because
right.
people read stuff they don't want to hear. That's the point of journalism, is giving information that some people aren't going to want to hear or be uncomfortable about.
Yeah, we don't like delivering bad news either, trust us.
But you got to do it.
Exactly.
You got to do what you got to do. I mean, listen. I mean, look, poor Kevin. Look at poor Kevin. The hard journalism of sports journalism in Chicago. He's not had a good story in a year and a half in this town.
And it's really his fault. So yeah. I do blame him. So keep the text coming. Yeah. I think everybody who's in journalism who looks at that and says, I can't think of a single thing those student journalists did wrong. In fact, they went about it in a way most newsrooms in America would try to interview people who have different stakes in this whole thing and try to get to the source of the people who were there and the ones who are outside. The whole thing just seemed
I'm actually amazed they looked up numbers. I resort to Facebook messages a lot of the time these days.
Well, I think that's too why this caught everybody's attention, too. I mean, this is Medill. This is one of the most prestigious journalism schools in the world. So for this to go down here, especially when there's been so much conversation about journalism in 2019
right.
and the way the media is viewed, it catches your attention for
well,
sure.
Well, and it also plays right into that narrative of the whole we must have safe zones,
right.
You know, and you cannot be offended. You cannot be scared. You cannot be intimidated. You cannot be, you know, you can't be confronted with anything that is averse to your current emotional state. And that is not life. That's just not how it goes. So I appreciate it. And I know the college campuses. And I know that, listen, there's a lot of Hollywood stars that claim that the kids are rowing experts. So that's how they ended up at Northwestern. But whatever, you got to be able to stand up to it. So that's what it is.
It goes deeper than that. Exposing corruption is something else journalists get a lot of heat for.
All right. Lauren Lapka, what's happening on the roads and in the sky? News coming up from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. Just a few minutes.
And there's a lot of it today.
Yes.
So you'll want to stay tuned.
There might be. There
changing
might be.
By the moment.
I don't know. All right, we were talking about that Northwestern University, the student newspaper controversy, where the student newspaper apologized for covering the news because some students felt that it wasn't a safe space for them to
mm-hmm.
have the news covered of this Jeff Sessions appearance, you know, speech he was making at the school.
Can I just read real quickly one thing that Dean Whitaker said in reaction to this? Because he was asked about this a number of times and responded. He has an eloquent letter that just kind of goes point by point. But one of the things he said is that the response sends a chilling message about journalism and its role in society. It suggests that we are not independent authors of the community narrative, but are prone to bowing to the loudest and most influential voices in our orbit. And to be sure, basically, that is not the case. That's not journalism.
That's very true. Carissa, you've called WGN 312-981-7200 if you want to weigh in. Go ahead, Carissa. Carissa.
Say that to me, the whole point of attending any kind of a political event is to give yourself a voice. And now they want to remain anonymous and hide. It just doesn't make any sense.
That is an excellent point, right? I mean, if you're going to be a protester, you're a protester, right? If you're going to attend an event because you want to attend an event, it's in public. It's not like you. Something strikes me here, Carissa.
This stuff is going to be televised, or you know, the photos are going to be taken, or something.
Well, I think one of the things that exists now is that because there is almost this artificial experience that people can have by being online, where you can be a lurker. You never have to leave your bedroom to be in the town square in some way, shape, or form, right?
Mm-hmm.
On Facebook or
right.
Twitter or whatever it is. So the idea of actually going and doing something and then being called to account for it without lurking, you know, and or just, you know, wanting to be a troll and say, watch other people's lives or whatever they happen to be doing on any of those social media platforms and then going after them for whatever they are. But to actually be in a physical space and do it is actually a revolutionary experience for some people who've just grown up in this, right? If you're 17, 18 years old or 19, 20, whatever it is, you're basically more than half of your life. There has been Twitter, there has been Facebook for all of your life. There's been all of that.
Right.
I think that's a lot of what this goes down to. And then the question is this, and there's a difference between being a citizen journalist and a journalist journalist. Journalists are people who get paid to tell those stories and take the risk and take the legal risk of telling the story, right? If you're out there doing anything, if you're out there reporting, you and you lie about something or you intentionally mislead, A, you're going to get fired and you're not going to be able to make your rent, or B, you can actually get sued and have to pay damages. So there's there are real risks here incumbent on telling stories, but it takes a certain type of person to want to go do it. These are pretty tough people, and I know journalists take it on the chin all the time in this town. But I got to tell you, the people who do their job the best at newspapers and TV stations and on some radio stations, because there's, you know, radio is a little bit more of a reactive media than a proactive media in terms of news coverage, but it is those people. I mean, you know, I'm gonna tell you this right now. I don't want to be in a fight with Chuck Gowdy. I don't want to do it. I'm not going to do it.
Well, and Chuck Gowdy is a perfect example of someone who chases down bad guys and people who are doing wrong on a really high level. And, you know, you don't think he takes some kind of, you know, I'd love to see his emails when he wakes up in the morning and people threatening him potentially.
Yeah. Well, he doesn't go to his mailbox. He has a fake mailbox.
I'm sure. And even in the case you mentioned journalists who get paid, I think that the Daily Northwestern students, they don't get paid, but they have a sure, they hope to one day in their field, and they go on to be some of the best in journalism. And I just think it was strange in this world that they reacted in part to the social media reaction to their work, and that's what made them feel ashamed in some way of what they had written and the way they had approached their story, that they were made to feel that way by maybe fellow students, others who had read their story, reacting to them on social media. That's when they issued the apology.
Okay, so it's a learning moment. That's what we just did. We just learned. All the kids just learned.
You hope
this
so.
Now we know. Now we can go back to our safe space and not have anybody look at us.
Don't be in the business of being in the public square if you don't want to be in the public square. If you don't like the heat, get out of the kitchen. Wait, who said that? Was that Harry Truman? It was somebody. I don't know.
I think it was Guy Fieri.
Well, I don't think they forced anybody to be picture. I mean, or if you're out there protesting, you know that you could be photographed. And if you're inside and you decided not to talk, I don't think they went and outed them or anything or put a list of people who were attending. They just reached out to see if anybody wanted to comment.
Right. All right. Well, I think we solved this.
Everyone kind of saw this for what it was. But, I felt sorry for these students because they did the right thing and then they were shamed into believing that the way they had approached it was wrong and somehow harmful.
And somehow, some way, and I can't quite figure this out, the Medill School of Journalism is two floors below us in our building. Has the same beautiful views. I'd like to go down there right now in a commercial break and yell at them and then come right back up.
And see what they do.
Yeah. Man, I was in a basement of a really ugly building when I went to college.
No, this is beautiful. They got all going. I don't know, these graduate students, I see a lot of international students that are going there. So, and then, which I'm very happy about.
Me too.
Because you definitely want, there are people that are coming from countries, a lot of Asian students. And, you know, the free press is not free in most Asian countries.
They appreciate it when they come here, I'm sure.
Yeah. So it's
like
pretty good.
Hong Kong has its issues right now, I've heard.
Thailand, Vietnam, all those places, right? Obviously Hong Kong. Japan is different, and Taiwan theoretically was, but that's going to get crushed too. So it's just not. I wish all those kids the best, and you got to learn from the best, because there's a lot of people to watch and aspire to be in this. And you don't necessarily have to tell. This is the thing, too. We're a little confused about the idea of journalism that now you have to have an opinion. You don't necessarily have to have an opinion. But the news organizations are required. If you're doing news, this is the problem with cable news, right? You can't really tell. It's very hard to tell the difference. It used to be when you watched CNN or even the early days of Fox News Channel, they would have reporters sitting at a desk like a standard, like you'd see if you're watching, you know, the Channel 9 news. Reporters sitting at a desk and doing, you know, talking about the news and then throwing to a pre-recorded package of news. They got rid of that because that was far more expensive than having, they basically fired half their journalists and then hired opinion people who are, and even during the day, you know, they talk about, oh, the talk blocks at night. Well, during the day, you know, when Jake Tapper's done telling you for 30 seconds what happened and then they show some tape of it, they go to five people on the desk who are all opinion people. And it's just about kicking the ball around for opinion.
And it's become seamless between what's opinion and what's fact, and it moves sort of back and forth effortlessly to the point where it's not really all that clear.
Right. And so you make a choice. Oh, I'm just going to believe this. You know, you like happen to like either, depending on what it is, like, you know, if it's the president, it's either for or against, or if it's left or right, or if it's whatever the case may be. And you find people, there will be constituents on that desk that you will be able to relate to. Somebody will have your position, if it's polar, at least, and you're just gonna, you know, you're rooting for them, and it's just a little bit of, it's, you know, more sporting combat, essentially.
That's why they were created, to simply gain viewers, knowing that you have an opinion and you will watch because you agree with it.
Right, and let's face it, it's less expensive than producing news. I mean, that's really one of the reasons that it happened, is that actually having to pay for reporters and cameramen and all these other people who are extra to what's happening in the studio, because you'd have to have an external and internal staff. So what they did is they got rid of the external staff, essentially. You do have some reporters still out there. And CNN, a little bit different of an example, because they have an international bureau, and they're one of the largest news organizations in the world now, when you count CNN International and all the rest of it. And the president was just lamenting that a couple of weeks ago. When, I'm in a hotel room, and I'm watching, that's why CNN's so bad, because they're everywhere. You know, it's sort of like, well, all right, stop it now. But you don't like Fareed Zakaria? Now you're going to tell me you don't like Fareed Zakaria. All right. Anyway, that's the situation as it stands. And we just wish all the kids at Northwestern all the best in trying to grow up here.
Okay. Stay strong.
All right. Thank you very much. Ro Khan Show with Anna DeVlantis right here on 720 WGN. Don't forget, Richard Roper sat down with Christian Bale. You're going to hear it coming up after 4. What time are we doing that? 4:47? I got to get we have a new times on the show for when things happen.
Very specific.
Yeah.
47.
It's at 47. All right. So we got that. Okay, good. Before we do that, we'll tell you also why you shouldn't. Certain things you should not say in an email. Certain phrases that apparently drive the email recipient nuts. And half of them I use. So I'm doing the wrong thing.
Well, I also noticed the use of punctuation marks. The exclamation point seems to need to be used in emails now.
Oh my gosh, I do feel the need to put them in there.
Because
otherwise I sound mad.
Yeah, otherwise people could read it in a bad tone, or a sad tone, or a mad tone, or I don't know. There seems like a lot of exclamation points.
Well, I think the president's taught us that.
In the emails and the texts.
Yeah.
And I find myself doing it too.
Jeff Earle is with us from the Daily Mail, and he's in Washington, and he's been covering all the action. And historic day in Washington today, Jeff, because this is the first time there's ever been an open hearing, an open testimony in a House impeachment inquiry, which is interesting because, you know, you thought there was so much of a political football around that. But in Andrew Johnson, which, you know, nobody cares about, and in Bill Clinton, all that stuff was done essentially by the way they had been doing it already, which was, and not necessarily in a skiff, but in closed session. So big deal.
That's right. And that became a major talking point of this inquiry, because it was done in a room that is indeed in a basement, which is a skiff, and where the committee leaders were taking testimony from all these witnesses. And the chairman, Adam Schiff, he said he wanted to do that. The gentleman's a former prosecutor, and he said he wanted to do that to keep people from trying to get their story straight. And so now we have it before the TV cameras, and it did, in fact, become a big TV show.
I did not get the sense by the time it was done that a whole lot of blood had been shed here. It seemed to me that because of the background of these two gentlemen who were up there, you had an ambassador who was a Vietnam War hero and a, you know, multi-decade employee of the government and of the State Department on and off, and then George Kent, who's a little younger, but also they were both very dignified, thoughtful about it. You could see that they had concerns about whether there was pressure being exerted by the president toward the new Ukrainian president. And there was a lot of but Democrats were doing their, you know, were going down their road, and Republicans were basically staying on script, right?
I think you're right. I mean, I've seen some really contentious, cantankerous hearings out of this committee, and I think a lot of us were expecting that. But I think even the Republicans made a calculation that these witnesses were so, if not untouchable, had such, you know, distinguished credentials that they didn't want to be seen really bloodying them. And, you know, look, there were some interruptions, as happens from time to time,
right.
but the Republicans on the committee were, I think they did take Schiff's admonition that they had to treat it as at least somewhat solemn.
There was a little bit of fighting between the Republicans and Democrats. You know, there was points of order and, you know, those kinds that were interrupting. Oh, you can interrupt me. How? Well, let me interrupt you. And it was, you know, whatever it is. But it wasn't as contentious as we had seen before. And because these public hearings can tend to be that because, you know, they're showing off for the people back home.
And I think the exception is that opening statement, or the main exception by Devin Nunes, where he really raised up, every kitchen sink attack on the claims being put forward in the impeachment inquiry, and with his statement, he took a lot of attention away from a clear defense of the actual conduct by the president on the call. He was bringing in other stuff.
We should mention here that there was a bit of a bombshell today, which is when the ambassador, who had been the ambassador to Ukraine, had been before the ambassador, he had been, 15 years ago, he was the ambassador to Ukraine. He was brought back by this administration, by Secretary of State Pompeo, to return to Ukraine. And he's the one who was raising alarm bells about this. Like, whoa, wait, hold on. I don't know how I feel about what he heard here. But he also said that he is now aware of people who worked for the State Department who are sitting with Ambassador Sondland after the phone call, the one day after the Ukraine phone call. Sitting with Ambassador Sondland at a restaurant, they heard the president on the phone asking how the negotiations were going with the Ukrainian president. And today, while the president was at the White House in a Q&A with the president of Turkey, Fox News asked him the question. John Roberts got up and said, "Hey,
yes.
Well, what about this? Did you make that phone call the day afterwards?" And the president said he has no recollection of that.
He said he has no recollection of it. He said it didn't happen. And he said it's the first he's heard of it. Now, if he's right, that's well and good. But the problem is Schiff is already calling new witnesses, and one of them looks to be the person who might well be this aide who reports to the witness. So
yeah.
If he wants to testify to this, and then if Sondland is forced to testify in public and he contradicts it, it would be them against the president.
Got it. Jeff Earle, Daily Mail. Thank you, sir. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right, let's check in with Lauren Lapko. What's happening on the roads and in the skies?
It's an annual tradition like no other. Join WGN Morning News, Dan Ponce, Lauren Jiggetts, and Sarah Jindra for Chicago's Thanksgiving Day Parade. Thanksgiving morning starting at 8 a.m. It's all on WGN-TV.
Great story today in the Daily Mail also about Daily Mail Australia, which they're having the same problems. They're most like us. The British are less like us. The Australians are just like us. They got bad attitudes. About how you use email and the things to say and not to say in emails, especially in a business environment. This is not for friends and family.
Like, this is committing faux pas, things that would turn people off.
And also general rules. First of all, strike the right tone in workplace correspondence. Easier said than done. Among the most hated phrases that you're using right now, per my last email.
Oh, yeah. I do not like that.
Very passive aggressive.
Yes.
Like, okay, maybe you didn't read it.
Or
that's what it infers.
Thanks in advance.
Oh,
I sometimes use that.
I've used that too.
Yeah.
Isn't that just being polite?
No, it's like
presumptive close.
Right, exactly. Like we
were like, I'm sure you're going to do this, so I will thank you now.
So I don't have to thank you later.
But it depends on the context. If it's something like, hey, refer me to the friend I met last night with you, thanks in advance.
Casual or emotive language is easily misunderstood and should be avoided.
Casual language should be avoided? I thought everything's going more and more casual.
Well, you shouldn't be swearing when they say casual. And, like, ain't and dog. Like, saying, right, dog? Yeah, I mean, things like that. You shouldn't be saying that. Do people even say that anymore?
Bro?
No.
Bro.
B-R-U-H.
Bruh. I do that all
happens,
the time.
That happens, doesn't it, Kevin? I don't get called a bra, but
bro?
Thankfully. Yeah.
Yeah. That's right, bra. That's what I do with when I'm trying to get a loan from the bank. Hey, brah.
Hey, brah.
Yeah.
Need a fun trip, brah.
City Hall, right?
Even when I'm sending emails to, like, my friends about, I don't know, maybe we have something coming up, like, outside of work, I still can never convince myself to make it casual as if I were talking to them. I still, it's just like a certain mode I go to when I'm writing an email. It's just not casual to me.
So here are do's and don'ts. Okay, so here's a do. Greet the person as opposed to just starting it blind. Right?
Okay.
Just without,
you don't want to go right to the ask. You want to at least have a greeting.
Like hello or, you know,
good
dear.
Afternoon.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Although isn't now is dear too? Is that the
too formal
to like old like world like
from love
the
letters?
19th century.
Dear. nobody uses dear. I haven't seen dear used in a long, long time.
Not since Warren G. Harding have we seen the word dear used properly.
Yo, is that okay? Hey.
I use hey all the time.
I do too.
Hey.
I don't. Maybe that's too informal.
Point.
Really?
Yeah. Oh yeah, don't you?
No, I just
you would say, hey, Kevin, hey, Lauren.
I guess.
No,
but,
I mean,
I would have to have the name followed.
Yeah, I usually do either good evening, good morning, good afternoon.
Oh, you are formal.
Gosh, Lauren
does
it right.
That's not that formal.
It's kind of formal.
What?
Because it's acknowledging
like
the time of day that it's happening.
Yeah, meaning like respond to me within the same period of time of day.
Exactly.
That's
which is, by the way, one of the don'ts, which is don't respond 6 weeks later, which I have a problem. I do. I get so much, and most of it's coming into my phone, and I'm trying to get rid of this. You know, there's like so much stuff that's just corporate, not our corporate, but just, you know, I'm being sold something. All day long, because, you know, you give your email to anybody, any retailer.
Well, you end up on those media sites, so every PR person does reach you, and a lot of times it's very helpful, but sometimes it's too much to respond to in one day.
I'm not all that interested. I know what I want to talk about. But Adidas, though, they know. I've told you this story. They know how to get me. They know exactly. It's almost like they got a sniffer in my phone. They know when I've been drinking and I'm getting in bed. Then all of a sudden, they hit me with an email that says, you're not going to believe the shoe that just came out that we're offering to you exclusively.
That you need right now.
And I drunk by it. You know, that's
when
that.
He's three bourbons deep around 10:45. Fire away.
They just know, man. They know when to hit me. And then when I go, oh, yeah. Oh, my God. The green stripe. I love the green stripe. all right. So other do's you should do.
Wait, we're getting pushback on the deer. I guess it's still used. 708. Using deer in a salutation is normal, accepted protocol.
Yeah.
Don't be jerks.
Letters.
Don't forget that part.
Don't be jerks.
Don't be jerks. Don't use that in an email.
Thanks for your email.
Deer.
Right,
thanks
troll.
For your text.
Yeah, but a deer, yeah, for a letter, like, I guess.
Yeah, but for an email, I think it's a little too formal, isn't it?
Not even formal, just doesn't fit the moment.
Weird.
Yeah, like dear, like in a
dear, would be like a thank you wedding letter, or something.
Right? And we're in a letter, like if you're writing a letter and you're sending a letter somewhere, you know,
yeah, of course,
dear, that makes total sense.
Like you're writing a birthday card and sending it to somebody,
yeah, or a formal letter, formal business letter, fine, but an email is a different deal. I don't know. Anyway, so take that. What did the guy say to us? Jerk.
708.
Yeah, don't be a jerk. Yeah, you don't be a jerk.
Hey, that's from my neck of the woods, Mr. Rude.
Don't use jerk
or
in an
Mrs.
email either.
Rude. Or Ms. How's that performing?
And that's the other thing, too. What do you do? Do you, you don't, you have to put Ms. or Mr., right? Dear Mr.
I wouldn't go there. 260, good day, works 24/7. I like that. Good day. Good day, Ro.
Good day.
Because that's also Australian.
respond within a reasonable time frame. Now, here are don'ts. Don't use offensive or gossipy or provocative language. What the f-? You know.
What's
loved your dress today. What are you wearing tomorrow? I'll see you at the meeting.
I hope you wear it again.
Please bring the documents.
Wink, wink.
What are you wearing now?
What are you wearing?
That color really brings out your eyes.
Oh, geez. You should wear green more often.
Nope.
Dear Susie, loved your green dress at the meeting today.
Green really is your color.
Yeah.
That even sounds weird.
Did you see what Tom was doing? He was picking his nose.
I love how you just wear anything.
Yeah, you look good. Not like Jane. No, she doesn't look good. So, yeah, so using gossipy, provocative, or offensive language.
Just steer clear.
Yeah. Click reply all. Don't click reply all.
Why not?
Do not do that. Unless you're trying to reply to everybody. But in most cases, you're just replying to the person sending it.
I think that applies to an entire workplace email, like sent from above to 100 employees. Do not hit reply all.
Right.
But if it's like a group of four or five people, maybe. You know.
Right.
But sometimes it says and staff, and you don't always see that. It just like has eight different emails.
Yeah.
And then it'll be and team or and staff.
But you'll have an option of reply. Let's say, okay, yeah. Let's say it comes from boss man, right?
Yeah.
So boss man sends it to you. And you don't see that he's sending it to the entire staff. And since he's boss man, he's a guy. All right? Or he's a they. I don't know what he is. Anyway. He's a them. What you do is when you want to reply, yeah, I'll be at the meeting or blah, 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 whatever it is, you hit reply, not reply all. You have an option because then you're only going to reply to boss man.
But they look so similar, too, at least on some of my email formats, where it's just like one reverse arrow, but then there's two reverse arrows. That would be reply all, so you got to be very careful.
Oh, you do. Yeah, for sure. But doesn't it say reply all? I don't know. I do this on my phone. I don't understand anything that goes on outside my phone. All right, so don't reply all, no matter what happens. I just was on this with a big meeting for this charity, and the next thing you know, I mean, I'm literally getting an email. There was like 60 people invited, and they were all hitting reply all. And I was getting
that's the problem.
Like 60 different, within a day, 60 different emails from people. And I'm like, well, I'll be there. Well, I'll be there a little late. I'm like, I'm not even going to the meeting. All right. Use emojis or slang terms.
Do not use
emojis or slang terms.
Hey, Susie, that green dress, fire emoji. Again, don't do it.
Peach emoji. Also bad. No. Really bad.
Would you like to go get Italian? I love eggplant.
Oh, gosh. See, that's the thing about the eggplant, the peach emoji. You know, they banned it on Facebook. Has anyone ever used that in a non-sexual way? The eggplant or the peach emoji? Has that ever been used sort of in a non...
Store. I haven't. You need me to get a tuber?
Like, what were you going to say, Lauren? You've used it that way?
No, I haven't. I don't think I've ever seen it used
that way.
Yeah, what I would use it for. Unless I was talking about a recipe.
Yeah, pick up some, and then don't forget a bag of peaches. No, you don't. Who does
right.
that?
Yeah, no. All right, I think we've just learned the most important stuff. Stay away from all of this, I think is the point. All right, we've got the news coming your way for the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom in 2 minutes. And then, coming up, Richard Roper sits down with Christian Bale. Stay right here. All right, it's a Rokon Show with Anna DeVlantis coming up in just a few minutes. Richard Roper sat down with Christian Bale. You'll hear all about it from Ford versus Ferrari. That's the new movie with he and Matt Damon. Amazing, really, really fun. Very fun, good, smart, great performances. Chicago's very own Tracy Letts is in it. Yeah. So it's really, really good. Playing William Ford, Bill Ford. But that's Henry Ford Jr.
Who's Ford and who's Ferrari?
You'll have to see the movie to find out. I can't tell you that. I'm sworn to secrecy. We were talking just a few minutes ago about email do's and don'ts. There's a big story about it today. It was very, very funny. But we didn't get to the part which is the best, the end. How do you end an email? You know, some of the do's and don'ts, very, very simple. You know, don't use provocative language in your email to your coworkers.
Emojis.
Right. The peach emoji, probably not a good idea.
Bad.
Yeah. Here are things. These are appropriate things to say goodbye in an email.
This is helpful.
Best wishes, right? Mm-hmm. Good blend of friendliness and formality, it says. And a greeting card vibe. Cheers. I don't like cheers, quite honestly.
Cheers suits certain people.
Yeah.
It's not really a word we use around here.
Right. Yeah, more British, right? But cheers is like, cheers, all right, mate. All right, we're going to have a few.
Ta-ta for now. Is that okay?
TTFA. Cheerio.
Best. I use that a lot.
Use all the best.
Best conveys best wishes in a cheerful, pithy way.
Pithy?
Yes. The downside is it can be safe and dull. Mm-hmm. All right. All right. That's me. Safe and dull.
Yeah, I don't think so.
That's not what I'm known for.
No.
Let's see. Regards or sincerely. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, that's fine. Stodgy and formal. Should only be used in professional emails. I send them actually in sexting. Regards. What are you wearing? Regards.
Sincerely.
Peach emoji. Regards.
Send me a picture. All the best.
Jeez.
What not to use? Love. THX.
What?
Thanks.
What's that?
Thanks.
Like THX.
I thought it was.
Yeah, that's bad.
I'm too bored to actually type out all the entire word thanks.
I use thanks on texting. Guilty of that.
Right. Texting is just
THX?
So abbreviated.
THX, that's my. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Take care. Don't use take care. Look forward to hearing from you. Yours truly, respectfully. Have a blessed day. or sent from my iPhone.
Then
take
what
that
are we
off.
Supposed to write? It takes everything away that I use.
Kind of does.
Yeah, that takes away quite a lot, actually.
Do you do that? I have a blessed day. Do you do that?
No. I usually just do thanks, actually, but I don't abbreviate it.
God bless y'all. Sincerely.
Don't you love when you call a place? We're having a blessed day here. At the Ted Cruz campaign.
See, this is regional, really? Too, because if this is down in the South, they'd be like, why wouldn't you put...
Right, have a blessed day. Right, for sure. Social media play, don't use slang terms like LOL, OMG, or BTW. I would also not use WTF. I'd add that to the
WTF. Boss man was a total jerk today.
And what do you mean versus what you type versus what you mean? I think this is pretty good. So the phrase is, hope this helps, which actually means, stop bothering me.
Oh, like, okay, that's it from me.
I see your point means I give zero F's.
Accurate.
Oh, gee.
As stated below means you need to read the entire email chain, pal.
That's another, like, per my last email.
With all your dumb questions.
Although we have several texters who support the per my last email just to keep the chain alive, and you can reference it again.
Yes. So. It also seems a little legalese. Seems like, you know, they're papering you up when they're doing that.
Keeping a record trail.
Kind regards is F-U.
Oh, really? Kind regards?
Kind regards.
What?
Yeah, that's weird.
Go blank yourself. Moving forward is stop wasting my time and let it go. Let me clarify, means you're a complete idiot. Per my last email, is you're still not reading the emails. Thanks in advance, is thanks for doing me the favor already, even though I just go do it. Sorry for being unclear means I wasn't unclear. You're a moron. How about that?
People are reading a lot into
this stuff. I know these emails, man. And such a science.
And just checking in, I use this all the time. I'm going to keep sending you emails about this until you respond. This is all very true. All right, coming up, it's Richard Roper's Sit Down. It's finally here now with Christian Bale, Ford versus Ferrari. But first, here's Lauren Lapko. What's happening in the skies and on the roads?
One of our bosses just replied all to an email. I think she's trolling us.
Really?
Yes.
You know what? Send best regards to her. That's what you do. LOL, best regards.
Thanks in advance. Best regards.
All right, Richard Roper just sat down with Christian Bale from Ford versus Ferrari. It's an amazing film. He gives it 3.5 stars. Tracy Letts plays Henry Ford II. You got Carroll Shelby, the great car designer and then sort of car genius from the 50s and 60s into the 70s, is played by that Matt Damon. Yeah. And then Christian Bale gives an amazing, amazing performance. Here is Richard Roper and Christian Bale.
Good to talk to you. Thanks so much for taking the time. I really appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thank you.
I want to congratulate you because I haven't seen you do such fine work behind the wheel of a machine since you were in my hometown of Chicago as the Dark Knight. So it's good to see you behind the wheel of a high-speed racing machine again.
This one's a little bit higher speed, a little bit racier as well, but it doesn't jump other cars or blow them out of the way.
I read somewhere, Christian, that you actually took some driving school instruction, actually spent some time, you know, really learning this car?
Yeah, I went to the Bob Bondurant, who was one of Ken Miles' peers, who is mentioned, he's referenced in the film, and he was a Formula One racer, he raced Le Mans as well. And so I went, and it was not only great in terms of learning how to drive a sport car to, not the level that those guys do, obviously. They're doing it since the age of 4, but as far as I could push it. But also getting to just yarn with Bob over these very long lunches where he would just tell me stories about the time and the era and about Ken Miles and whatnot. So very good times.
Yeah, sort of two layers of research at once there. That's got to be very helpful when you're developing the character. And also, I've had the privilege of seeing some of these cars, and I remember a few years back, Christian, I got to see some of Paul Newman's racing cars. And, you know, as you know...
Yeah, well, Bob worked with Paul Newman a lot. And trained him.
And as you know, Mr. Newman was... He was, you know, maybe 5'10", 165 pounds. These cars are not made for large-sized men. Did you have to do any kind of physical transformation just to literally be able to fit into the car?
Well, yes, because I've been playing Dick Cheney, and Dick Cheney would not be your ideal race car driver. So, yes, as you say, the lighter the racer, the more the horsepower gets to actually move the car faster.
And you mentioned Vice, and I think about, you know, all the characters you've done in recent years, Christian, almost all of them, whether it's, you know, Dick Cheney, who had that Midwestern rasp, or the Boston accent, the fighter, or the Bronx you were doing in American Hustle. Here you're playing somebody who's, you know, he's from Birmingham. He's not from the same area as you are, but it's a lot closer to your actual accent. How did that inform your character? I mean, do you hear the accent in your head when you're developing these characters?
Very much. It was an interesting one with Ken because I spent quite a bit of time with his son Peter, but Peter grew up here and isn't really able to identify the difference between various British accents in the same way that I can. So I keep getting asked the question, oh, it must have been nice just to be speaking in your own voice. And I understand, you know, how it's tricky to hear the difference, but to a Brit, it's like saying to someone from the Bronx who's using a Texas accent, oh, it must have been nice to use your own voice. The Midlands has a very distinctive sound. Ken Miles came from a town just outside of Birmingham. He didn't have a really, really strong, they call it Brummy, accent. In fact, the interviews that I saw, he sounded positively plummy and very BBC. But I assessed that, and in speaking with Peter, I had to make a decision, and I thought, you know, he's speaking in public, and so he's speaking that way because he's on camera, because nobody from the Midlands sounds like that at all. And so I worked with a lady from Solihull, which is outside of Birmingham as well, who lives out here, and interviewed all of her family and whatnot. Had a wonderful time, learned a great deal of history about the Midlands from it. But I like to always have something that, it's a weakness of mine that I don't like looking in the mirror and going, oh, that's me. I don't like listening to recording and going, oh, that's pretty much me. I like to try to find some definitive difference.
And one of the things I really admired about the film, Christian, was the character you play in movies like this. Quite often, he's a divorced dad because he, you know, doesn't have time for his family, or he's this distant figure. But actually, the relationship between Ken and his son Peter, who's played by Noah Jupe, of course, it's kind of the heart and soul of the film. It's you know, it's great to see that. That's where you see his, you know, his most human side, and the fact that he does have this warmth.
That's right. Yeah, he's fantastic. Noah was a real pleasure to work with. Very funny, and it was very nice, the scenes that we got to do, myself, him, and Katrina. And as you say, it kind of creates the relatable home life. And, you know, much like, hey, families who have a policeman as a dad or a firefighter as a dad, you know, trying to understand these families who are accustomed to the dangers of the dad's job. This is one where it is his skill, it is his passion. What I like so much about it is that Molly Miles was actually a bit of a gearhead herself. Mm. She would write articles in motor magazines. She was very supportive of what Ken did. Her issues were never to do with, please stop your dreams. She always supported his dreams. Her issues, as you see in that car scene, which Katrina plays beautifully, were, don't lie to me and pretend they're not your dreams. Mm-hmm. You know? And that's a wonderful support system. And then equally, the lack of comprehension by the son when he sees what his dad does in 66 at Le Mans at the very end, which goes against everything that Ken believes in. Exactly. Total anathema to him. To compromise and slow down is not what racing is. But he does it, I believe, because of his allegiance to Shelby and knowing how much he's put aside for him and the belief that he is still going to walk away with a triple crown, and he achieved lap records. So he felt like, okay, he will try to take an order for the first time in his life.
Yeah, exactly.
But it ends up absolutely coming back to bite him. And tragically, you know, they certainly believed with absolute confidence they were going to get to come back the following year with Ken, and obviously they would redeem everything then and put it right, but he never got to see that day.
And, you know, you mentioned, you know, Ken not being a team player, to say the least. And, you know, so much of this movie is almost Ford versus Ford, or Shelby and Ken versus Ford, as much as Ford versus Ferrari. And,
yes.
You know, I love that dynamic. And, of course, working with Matt, to have that kind of, you know, that back and forth. But there's also that, and you mentioned Katrina, who's absolutely wonderful, especially in the fight scene, because the fight scene you guys have is the fight scene that would really take place. It's not one of these slam bang, you know, it's not Jason Bourne, you know, to quote one of Matt's characters.
No,
and it's played beautifully.
It was a lot of fun. And Matt's used to doing fight sequences. I am too. We're also accustomed to having to rehearse those for day after day after day. And this one, we got to the usual room with a bunch of mats, and the stunt guys went, well, we were thinking this. They kind of showed us. Within 20 minutes, Matt and me looked at each other and went, got it, done. Let's all have an early day. Because this one we knew, look, it's all about two guys who respect the hell out of each other in that moment need to vent, but don't really want to hurt each other seriously.
Yeah.
You know, it's all encapsulated in that choice that he makes not to hit me with a can, but to hit me with a loaf of Wonder Bread. And it's quite pathetic. But very telling.
I only got a minute or so before I have to let you go. I wanted to mention to you, Christian, I'm working on my list of the top 100 movies of the decade, because believe it or not, the 2010s are coming to a close. And I have five Christian Bale films on this list. Including
Thank you very much.
I mean, The Fighter, Dark Knight Rises, Out of the Furnace, which I think is just an absolutely, you know, masterful work. American Hustle, The Big Short.
Thank you so much for mentioning Out of the Furnace, yeah, because I do agree. And, you know, not so many people saw that.
What is it about you that you have such an amazing track record? You choose your projects carefully, but they almost always seem to pan out.
Oh, that's not true. Come on, you've seen enough of my work to know that they don't always pan out. I get lucky, just like anybody else does sometimes. It's always a crapshoot. This one really paid off. It's the process that I've got to look at, and then the wonderful gravy if the film actually comes good at the end. You know, there's so many elements that conspire against the film actually turning out well. But wow, what a glorious moment when they actually do.
Well, you had one of those moments with this film. Congratulations so much.
Thank you, Richard.
Appreciate talking to you.
You too, mate. Bye-bye.
All right, that was Richard Roper, along with, of course, Christian Bale. Ford versus Ferrari is the movie. Richard gives it 3.5 stars. It's pretty amazing. Pretty amazing. Really, really a fun ride, and great acting performances by everybody. We got the news from Northwestern Medicine Newsroom coming your way in 2 minutes.
It's the top five on the Rokan Show.
Five.
Let's go.
Four. Three.
Now, it's the top five at five on the Rokan Show with Anna Tavlantis. Sponsored by the Hip and Knee Center, where they help you feel new again.
Ready?
Yes.
Yes.
Get on with it.
There you go. And get on with it, we will. Here you go. Checking in at
number five.
All right, so there was a bombshell today. It was the first day of public testimony in the impeachment inquiry up on Capitol Hill in the House of Representatives. First time ever, we learned today, that there has ever been public testimony in an impeachment inquiry in the House of Representatives. Because of the three attempted impeachment proceedings, one attempted and then two impeachments and then no convictions. I make that perfectly clear. You have Nixon never got there, but with Johnson in the 1860s, and then, you know, 100 and something, 130 years later with Bill Clinton, it was all done behind closed doors in private. All of the testimony was, and then they took that information to trial. So anyway, so this is the first one. So there was a bombshell in it, in which the ambassador here to the Ukraine, Bill Taylor, said that he was now aware of a phone conversation that the president had with Ambassador Sondland that was overheard by other State Department employees the night after the phone call with the Ukrainian president in July. All right, so that's new information that there might have been, and that the president was asking about how the Ukrainian president was taking his request for an investigation. Here is what Bill Taylor said.
Ambassador Sondland called President Trump and told him of his meetings in Kyiv. The member of my staff could hear President Trump on the phone asking Ambassador Sondland about the investigations. Ambassador Sondland told President Trump the Ukrainians were ready to move forward. Following the call with President Trump, the member of my staff asked Ambassador Sondland what President Trump thought about Ukraine. Ambassador Sondland responded that President Trump cares more about the investigations of Biden, which Giuliani was pressing for. At the time I gave my deposition on October 22nd, I was not aware of this information.
So he just added to that.
He was adding to it. That was sort of the bombshell that was revealed. And I think the president's response, are we going to get to that?
Yes, we have got that right here. Mm-hmm. The president was then asked by the Fox News Channel about this at a press availability when he was taking questions with the president of Turkey, who was in town.
Is that correct? And can you fill in some more?
I know nothing about that. First time I've heard it. The one thing I've seen that Sondland said was that he did speak to me for a brief moment, and I said no quid pro quo under any circumstances, and that's true. The other, I've never heard this. In any event, it's more secondhand information, but I've never heard it.
Do you recall having a conversation with
him? I don't recall. No, not at all. Not even a little bit. The only thing, and I guess Sondland had stayed with his testimony, that there was no quid pro quo, pure and simple.
So the president is saying he knows nothing about this thing, this call or anything like that that was stated. It was between Ambassador Sondland and the president. There was an aide to this ambassador who overheard part of the call and then was kind of, it was surmised for him later afterwards. And then Republicans are saying, well, this is like three different generations. We want to get closer.
This person's going to be brought up on Capitol Hill.
I think the
Hill
staffer will get
for
closer.
Sure. All right, here is Lauren Lapka. She's got the traffic and the weather. All right, let's continue on with the top five at five. We're all the way up to?
Number four.
That's not very far, is it? I don't think so. Okay, so the ride-hailing services are going to get more expensive, especially if you want to go into downtown Chicago. Uber and Lyft are not happy about it either. Mayor Lightfoot plans to take the flat rate of 72 cents a trip and increase it to $1.25 for single rides downtown. The mayor believes the proposed tax hike would not only help reduce traffic in the downtown area, but also lower the city's $838 million shortfall. Remember, we got that?
We do.
They think
that's a problem.
This is going to raise an additional $40 million, but Uber, not happy about this.
A number of ministers who have met with us and said, Uber promised us $54 million, basically, if you back off. And I'm happy to provide names. They offered up black ministers $54 million, a one-time deal, if they would convince the mayor to do away with any other kind of regulation. And as we walked these ministers through the realities of what's actually at stake here, I think they realized that, frankly, they'd been hoodwinked.
I think Uber's being a little fast and loose with some of the facts here, because if you do the pool version, you will pay less of a tax. There's a 7-cent discount for you if you choose pool.
But you got to sit with somebody else.
Yeah. So that's the price. I mean, I do that. I don't think that's a hardship.
Well,
I think that's fine. Well, then you have to pay the fancy tax.
Are there creepy people when you get in the car?
Sometimes, yes.
Ooh, yeah,
that
you never
does
know.
Happen. Sometimes you're surprised and they have 7 bags that no one really fits in the back seat anymore.
Yeah, well, and sometimes you don't end up getting in the car with anybody. But again, you're also running the risk that now your trip is going to take longer.
Yeah.
That's true. People, if you're going, especially if you're going farther, like downtown to Andersonville or something, they could make several stops.
Right.
Like a Kia Sonata, which is your standard Uber car, right? It's almost always a Kia Sonata when it pulls up. How many people can they fit in that thing?
I've been in with 2 others. I've never been with more than that.
Oh, I don't like the idea.
See, the cars, you're right next to the person. It's not like a bus where you...
I don't like to do that.
So what? Bus, you're right next to somebody. CTA, have you ridden the L? Have you been on the L?
Oh, yeah. But
sit next to people. It's pretty close sometimes.
Yeah, but it's $2.
Rush hour.
I know what I'm doing there. I know what I've got. I know what I've invested in. Plus, it's a great sociological moment for me. I like sitting back there and just watching everybody. And everybody is in panic or fear. There's only 2 emotions when you're on an L car.
But trying not to look like it.
There's right, you're trying to be cool.
No, I'm fine.
Everybody's trying to be cool.
There's some weird stuff going down, but I'm okay with it. There's a drug deal on the L. There's something else. There's
a
guy
singing.
Walking through.
Right.
He's asking for money.
I'm going to sing you a song!
It's no big deal. Just keep looking forward. Getting to my destination.
I've had everything happen to me on the train that can possibly happen to me.
I have too.
And it's fun. It's fun, but I know what it is, right? It's a couple of bucks, and I know what I'm going to get. Like for Uber, I'm going to pay $7 or $10 or whatever it is at a rideshare, and then all of a sudden I'm going to have the guy getting into the Uber and going, "Hey, let me sing you a song." I don't need that.
But you get that when you're on the L. So what's sitting with someone?
Yeah,
who's
but it's 3 times
business.
As much. I don't need it.
The point is that Lori Lightfoot is the mayor is trying to say,
I get
"Look,
it.
Uber's sort of playing with the facts a little bit
on
this one, and look at what they're doing, how far they're going to try to alter the narrative on this.
Here's what I really like about it. She's calling it out.
Yeah,
and, you know,
love that.
There have been some ministers on the take in this town for years and years and years and years and years and years and years, and she is uniquely qualified to call it out. If Rahm tried to call it out, all hell would have broken loose. But if she can get up there and go, hey, wait a second, I know what's going on here.
Well, they might have believed it when Uber came to them and said, this is unfair to the populations that you serve. And then she came to them with the facts that, no, take a look at what we're doing. It's really not the case.
All right, so checking in at
number three.
So NFL clubs were informed yesterday that the Colin Kaepernick private workout is going to be held on Saturday, right?
Yep.
And at least one of Colin's former teammates and friend, Eric Reed, expressed doubt over whether the NFL's intentions are really for good.
It feels like the same play from the NFL. It feels disingenuous. They told Colin that he has the opportunity and that the league will send representatives from his team, but it's a Saturday before a game. The teams are traveling on Saturdays. What head coach or GM is going to be able to make this trip? But as far as I know, Colin's going to be there, and he's going to perform, because I know he's right.
They should put it on ESPN or NFL Network or something.
I'd watch it.
Yeah, I'd like to see that.
He does make a good point. It's Saturday before a game. That's the question I keep asking. Why now, out of nowhere, in Week 12, are you hosting a workout on a Saturday before a full slot of games? I don't know.
NFL says not a PR stunt, and they believe that many teams are actually scouting him.
Well, sure. The Dolphins, so Lions, Falcons, Bucks, Broncos, Redskins have all said they'll have a rep there.
Okay, who said?
Dolphins.
Yeah.
Lions.
Okay, they could, yes.
Falcons.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Why wouldn't they be there?
Buccaneers.
Yeah. Because Matt Ryan's out, right? Is Matt Ryan hurt, too? Down in Atlanta?
I don't know if anybody's going to sign him right now as a fix for the rest of the year, but gives him a first look. Broncos for sure, and Redskins. Matt Nagy today at Alice Hall wouldn't say if he was. He's like, I'm not sure. I don't know if
come
he
on.
Will. But every single team in the NFL would be dumb not to have at least one person there.
Well, I mean, I don't think New England's going to send anybody there.
Wouldn't you have someone just out of the curiosity factor?
Oh, okay. Are you not?
Do you know how large this team staffs are? You can't find one guy to go.
You think Robert Kraft is going to send a guy down there? He's going to have to ask Ming Fu Hulu if it's a good idea. His masseuse.
He'll have a spy there. That's how he handles everything.
Right, exactly. Right. He'll be guy videotaping it.
Right.
It'll actually
just to see if anyone else, and he'll swoop in if someone else wants to take him.
Ming Fu Hulu's nephew from Beijing just got into the country. He's got a little secret spy cam, and he's going to be there.
The glasses with like a camera in it.
Yeah.
Yeah, the ones you can totally tell.
Mm-hmm.
Video will be made available to all teams.
Oh, good. Well, hey, do you think this will be the moment? Do you think he'll get picked up by somebody?
I don't think it's going to happen that fast. I don't. It's already too late in the season. But I do think this is trending in the direction he'll be on a team by next year.
Well, most of the teams you just mentioned have lost their starters. Stafford's out at the Lions, right?
Yep.
Dolphins
are horrible.
The Washington, they got nothing but troubles, right? They got the troubles. I think Matt Ryan is out at Atlanta.
Okay, I'll double check that.
Can you get back to me on this?
But he's totally able to be signed tomorrow, is what you said the other day, Kev. Is that's true?
Yeah,
if they they could.
Oh, yeah, he's a free agent. He can sign on the spot.
Sure. Yeah. Like, just like me and Kev, we could sign on the spot, too.
You guys should show
still
up.
Still wait for that call.
Let me show you what I got.
Yeah, we're gonna put up our own workout. I'm going to just sit down here for a second. I got a beer. Hold on. Wait, I want an IPA. Kev, throw me an IPA. Oh, you see the arm on that kid? All right, here we go.
Number two.
Oh, this is a good one. City of Denver is going to have to pay a United Airlines pilot $300,000 to settle a wrongful arrest lawsuit from an incident at the Westin at Denver International Airport. I've stayed there. It's got this big, you know, like Denver International Airport.
I like that airport.
An airport in the middle of nowhere, right?
It's just like a little city.
Pops up in its own place, and then the Westin's right in the middle of it, and you stand there. So this guy got arrested. There was a complaint by some looky-loo, said that they saw this guy in his hotel room naked, standing in the window, and potentially in the position of self-touching while he was in the window. Hmm. So cops go in, they got a body cam on, they arrest the guy, and they take him out.
Denver police, sir, open the door. Sir, we're coming in with or without your permission, so open the door. Your hands where I can see them. Back up out of this doorway. You got any weapons on you?
No, sir.
So you got some obvious photographs of you standing in that window.
Sir, you're under arrest.
Okay, for what?
Indecent exposure?
Really?
Yes, sir.
It's in his hotel room.
What a bad look. Wait, I wasn't doing anything.
You're not allowed to be naked in your hotel room?
Well, the attorney, Craig Silverman, argued it is not a crime. Thank God for Craig Silverman. Silverman at Law. Better call Silver. Sylvie. It is not illegal to be naked in your hotel room. And he had no idea that people could see him when he was partially opening the curtains. Well, what's that? Right.
Right.
You're on
the 10th floor. Who's looking up there?
Right. And that's, I spend all my time naked in a hotel room. I stop at the door. I drop everything. And then I put plastic bags all over me because I don't want anything touching me.
Mm-hmm.
But seriously,
you
can't be naked in a hotel room. I mean, you know what hotel rooms are for. They're for two things.
But I didn't know you couldn't be naked. I mean, 10th floor?
Right.
Charges were dismissed.
They gave him $300,000. I like the cops in this. Like they made like this. Like they got El Chapo.
It's like okay, we've identified the subject.
We have got him now.
Here's where I can see him.
Pierce has got a weapon in his right hand.
Right. Please, sir, open the door.
Oh my God.
Sir, we're coming in with or without your permission. So open the door.
Oh my gosh! Seriously, that
you got a weapon on you? It's pretty clear he doesn't.
That would come into 911, and that would be sort of a low priority, I would think.
I don't know. It's been called a weapon before, but you'd be the judge.
Oh, I see what they did there. All right, Ed.
Could have said.
Finally.
Number one.
During the Kelly Clarkson show, her super cute kids, and I'm just reading this from the script. I don't know if I agree with
that. I'll be the judge of that.
Took over her show to interview one of her favorite characters, Aquaman's Kelly's daughter, River, who's 5, and son, Remy, 3, asked some burning questions of Jason Momoa, who, of course, plays Aquaman.
You have a question for him?
Yeah. Do you know a Little Mermaid?
Ariel? Yes, Ariel's very sweet. She's very nice. She's also a redhead, so
yeah.
I'm going to teach you about redheads someday. They're very passionate. Very passionate people.
Okay. Where does Aquaman go to a bathroom?
Everywhere.
Super cute kids.
Like, that wasn't all staged with those kids.
Yeah, you kind of get that sense.
Yeah, because he was ready to answer the question.
Well, you don't think Jason Momoa can think on the spot?
No, I really don't. I've seen him interviewed. I got to be honest with you.
He was great as a Dothraki, though.
Right. I mean, he looks great.
Mm-hmm. Well, he didn't have to say much.
Right. He would grunt, and then he would speak some made-up language. Right.
No one understood.
Right. And how do you know if you got it right or you didn't get it right?
Very cute kids.
That's bad conjugation. Grrr. Yeah. Okay. Okay. Is that Kelly Clarkson show taking off? Is that one of those things when they announced it, I'm like, oh, that is never going to work, and then it becomes a huge hit?
I think she should sing on the show every day. She's got a lovely voice.
She should have the pilot on to get the details out. Such
yeah, that's
story
the kind
straight.
Of stuff we want to see.
Well, she does. She's got that gorgeous voice in that, the redo of mm-hmm. Baby It's Cold Outside.
Mm-hmm. With the sexiest man alive, mm-hmm. Mr. Chrissy Teigen.
It is the dumbest song of all times.
So dumb.
So stupid. All right.
Tickets.
Okay. Anyway, well, there you have it. There you have it. I just want to say that finally, we're able to free ourselves in our hotel rooms. I didn't think that this was the Soviet Union. I really didn't. All right. Coming up on the program, important stuff. Michael Monaco is going to be here. We're going to talk a little bit about what the legal ramifications of what happened in Washington are today. And that's coming in your way right after the news.
Number one.
I don't know what just happened there, but it's the Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis right here on 720 WGN. Look who just stepped into the studio. Our attorney at law, he's our legal analyst, mm-hmm. Mr. Michael Monaco. No case too big or too small. That's what we always say about him.
That's what we've said in the past.
Yes, that's true. You've done a lot of different. You've done some public corruption cases. You've done some. You've done some white collar criminal cases, and you've represented a few people who've been involved in that have had to go up onto Capitol Hill.
Yeah, I was in the secret
skiff.
Skiff.
You were in a skiff.
In the skiff with the Congressman Schiff's committee.
Yeah.
At the time, we didn't have the pleasure of having Mr. Jordan from Ohio at that time.
I call him shirtless Jim Jordan.
We really missed out.
I like him.
Having him there.
He's got wingspan, first of all.
Is there
I'm going to suggest that at the next committee hearing that he just take his shirt to left, just wear a long tie. This is sort of like a Chippendale kind of a look. All right, so, but yeah, I mean, listen, this is...
It was a big deal.
These are...
It was a big deal today.
Republicans have been, you know, very, very, very in coordination, right? I mean, they're not breaking ranks. Even this, that Hurd guy from the congressman from Texas.
Texas, right.
Who is leaving. Right. Yeah. Will Hurd, who was a former CIA and clandestine service guy, even he is sticking down the corporate line politically here.
He was very supportive of the two witnesses. You know, he complimented them when he started. Mm-hmm. You're right. You're exactly right.
So did the witnesses draw blood today, do you think?
Well, if you think bribery is an impeachable offense, I think they did.
Ah, oh, show me in the Constitution where it is. Oh, right there? Oh, okay.
It would qualify, I think.
I mean. Yeah.
I think the biggest thing was when you heard from Ambassador Taylor, the diplomat from the Ukraine, about adding to his prior deposition. He was saying that, you know, I didn't include this before. I'm going to add this now, and it has to do with what a staffer informed me about that conversation between Sondland and President Trump.
Right, but that the staffer heard, and the staffer reported to Ambassador Taylor that what he heard, and that he then asked the staffer then asked Sondland, what does the president think of Ukraine? He says, and Sondland said he really cares more about the impeachment hearing. Excuse me, he cares more about the investigation.
So the Republicans are saying that, look, this is an aide who overheard some things, and other things were summarized by a person who was on the call with the president, and now you're repeating that from your aide who heard that from somebody else. Right. That it's not firsthand information.
Well,
does that matter?
Well, it doesn't matter at an impeachment hearing. Anything can be received at an impeachment hearing, but obviously, it'll be important to hear what the Ambassador Sondland has to say.
See, now I think that's going to be the issue here. Yeah. I think this now sets up, and Sondland is technically available next week, right? Yeah. That's what they're saying.
And he's sort of changed his position.
He made an addendum. He added to his testimony, right? His in the skiff. Yeah. I forgot to mention something, so he added that last week.
Right.
He did one of those,
which is possible.
Yeah.
You know. I forgot to.
Upon further review,
what the president said to me.
Yes.
Oh yeah. Now I remember.
But he's going to be asked about this, and so he's going to have to say. Either going to have to say yes, I said that, or no, I didn't, and then risk perjury. And you have to wonder if a guy like someone who's been a very successful business guy, mm-hmm. and it was the ambassador to the European Union as a high ticket donor. Now there are a lot of ambassadors who are high ticket donors, and that's how they get ambassadorships. It's a little unusual to be in an economic post though as an ambassador, like the EU.
Right.
Like France,
it's
and
unusual.
England and all that. Those are great ambassador kind of, you know, where they give that to a former Kennedy or a, you know, a billionaire donor or whatever it is, because they're not doing any of the work. The charge d'affaires does all the work.
From
there.
Chicago, I think Mr. Gidwitz is ambassador to Belgium, I believe.
Right. So, right. Currently.
Oh. Right now.
And he was someone who raised money for Trump?
Yes.
But, But the EU, though, that's
a bigger deal.
That's a bigger deal. And that tends not to be a donor. But anyway, that's.
Anyway, so Sondland will testify. And
I don't think Sondland wants to go to jail.
And then you'll expect to hear from the ambassador staff member who heard Sondland say what the ambassador.
Or maybe before? Would you put. If you were.
He's on the schedule for Friday.
The ambassador?
No, the aide.
The aide is on the
staffer.
For this Friday or next
this
Friday?
This Friday.
This Friday. Should be interesting.
No.
Very interesting.
I thought they weren't even going to do anything for. I like how they take a couple of days off. I want that gig. All right, hold on one second. Don't anybody. Well, no, I got another minute here before we stop down because Lauren is standing by with the traffic and the weather. But do you think that there's going to be, as we head into the next week, do you think there will be enough energy here for an impeachment vote in the next, maybe by Thanksgiving?
Yes, I do think so. I mean, when you hear Taylor say that there we could see Russians on the other side of the river, and
in Ukraine,
on the river outside of Kiev, and they were killing Ukrainians on a weekly basis, the Russians. And we were withholding the money.
Okay, but here's the defense, and I'm just going to leave you with this, and then on the other side, I want you to answer the question. The defense is they got the money. They got the aid. No harm, no foul. That's the defense that's being
after
used
a month.
By shirtless Jim Jordan.
After
and,
a month.
And some, well, we'll talk about that. We'll talk about the legal ramifications of that. But first, here's Lauren. She's got the traffic and weather right now. All right, our legal analyst Mike Monaco is in the studio with us. No case too big or too small, as we like to say. And we got news from Northwestern Medicine Newsroom coming your way at the top of the hour. I left you with this question, Mike Monaco. We were talking about what's going on in Washington and the testimony today up on Capitol Hill. Open testimony. First time ever in an impeachment inquiry, there was actual open testimony in the House of Representatives. Did you know that to be the case? It's true. It's true. We learned that today. The two prior cases where there was testimony, because there wasn't really testimony in a formal inquiry. That's the difference.
Uh-huh. Right?
But because John Dean wasn't testimony in a formal inquiry. It was in a separate deal. Here is the question that...
I remember was his name Butterworth?
Butterfield.
Butterfield?
Butterfield? No, Butterfield.
Well, why don't you just listen to the tapes? What? Tapes? What tapes? No, President Nixon kept tapes. He did. Well, where are they?
Is it Butterfield? What is his name? Butterworth? But
Mrs. Butterworth. Yeah.
And it's any relation?
Is Butterfield. No, whatever. Yeah. Anyway. Here is the point. Yeah, here's what I'd like to know. So what we see developing here is this argument that, look, like Jim Jordan from Ohio, who is really the most
aggressive
defender of the president,
right.
Here,
yeah.
Is saying this, that they ended up getting, there was no pressure, and Zelensky, the president of Ukraine, says there was no pressure. They ended up getting the money anyway. Yeah, they might have been freaked out. Maybe it was their perception that they weren't going to get it, but they got it. And just because they got it, you know, around the time that John Bolton was leaving, and they were thinking, uh-oh, John Bolton knows some stuff, and he's mad. They got the money. I mean, it's they got it. What's the big deal?
Yeah, well, it's like, you know, if you try to bribe someone here in the United States, and you say, you know, if you do this for me, I'll do this for you.
Mm-hmm.
And once you say that, that's the crime. The crime is committed right there and then. If you say, and people, as you well know, people from this town have faced many such allegations and trials and most have been
convicted.
In
the world of diplomacy, isn't it a little different that there are levers you pull for giving things, for doing different things? Well, aid is tied to certain actions. Now, they don't necessarily benefit that person personally, and I think that's the exception Democrats are trying to carve out here. But
Well, Mr. Taylor talked about it. Ambassador Taylor was asked that question today, and he said, California congressman asked about Mulvaney's comment that this happens all the time, that this political...
That aid is sometimes tied to certain actions that you must
political
take.
Actions.
Mm-hmm.
And Taylor said today that's not true.
Yeah.
And this did not happen.
Well, in terms of foreign policy. And there is a difference. And there's... I mean, I don't know if you've ever... You know, it's a really good made-for-cable movie that was, that was Bryan Cranston playing LBJ.
I love
it. In that whole... It was the story of how they got the Civil Rights Act across the finish line.
Yes.
And it is really good. And you see the kind of horse trading that went on, that still goes on in Washington. There's no question about that. But when it comes to money that had been already secured through the Congress to go to a foreign country as part of foreign aid,
there's affirmative duty to give the money.
Politics ends. There used to be this notion that politics ends at
the border.
At the ocean's shore, right? That everything happens here internally. When you go overseas, you don't talk badly about the United States or your political rivals or anything
that's
like that.
True.
That used to be the rule.
We used to have a lot of rules like that.
Yeah.
Back in the day, four years ago.
All the rules of civility.
Yeah, there used to be those things. But now the president does do this. But I have to ask you this. All right, based on this, and even if next week the testimony comes in that the president was more, as it was sort of presaged today, that the president was more interested in the Ukrainian investigation of the Bidens
and the 2016 election
than he was, and to find out if the... Well, hold on one second. We'll get to that in a second. But if he's more interested in the investigation of the Bidens than he was in helping Ukraine,
right?
Do Republicans come across and impeach him in the Senate? I don't think so.
I don't. They're not going to do anything in the Senate. I'm not sure where this ends. I think just like what Taylor said today. Taylor said today that Ambassador Taylor has been ambassador for 30 years. He said today that this did not happen in the past. This was not accepted in the past.
Okay. Well, there's a lot of things. I don't know if you've seen that are not 100%.
But this, we should not let this stay as it is, as a record that this, you're sure anybody can. You can call any foreign government and ask them to investigate anybody in America, a politician in America.
Shouldn't be doing that.
You shouldn't be doing that.
No, that's true. Well, and then the other question is this Ukrainian. Now, there are a bunch of different stories. Now, were the Ukrainians actually involved in trying to influence the election on behalf of Hillary Clinton?
Yeah, right? I know.
So
what about
now? We do know.
We had a lengthy investigation of that fact, and it was proven that the Russians were involved.
Yes, the Russians were involved for Trump.
Oh, right.
But maybe the Ukrainians went for Hillary.
Oh, I see.
I mean, I think that's I think that could be the case.
Okay. Well, there you go.
I don't know, but
what is happening?
It turns out that now the CrowdStrike and all the rest of that stuff, I don't think is actually that got disproved.
Yeah, sorry,
but I wouldn't be surprised. I would not be surprised if there were Ukrainian officials who were like, "Listen, the anti-Russian Ukrainians, because you're picking a team here."
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah, that's possible.
You know, I mean, I think that's like
a football team.
Yeah, who's studying on this?
That was part of the testimony today about the extreme corruption in the Ukraine. Just how extremely corrupt it has been.
Right.
And how they've been trying to sort through it.
That's the problem with the whole argument that shirtless Jim Jordan was making, which is that there's such corruption in Ukraine, and how do you know what to believe? And then in the same paragraph, he mentions that Joe Biden had the Attorney General of Ukraine, or this not the Attorney General, but a major player in Ukraine taken out. Right, these judges taken out that he said were corrupt.
What I thought was interesting today when Taylor said that Sutherland said that the president wanted to put Zelensky in a box. He wanted him to make a public statement that they're going to investigate Biden.
Right.
By putting him in a box, he means once he says that publicly, he's stuck with it. And that's what he wanted. That's what Trump wanted. So the fact
that the New York Times today is reporting that he was going to do that, and then all of a sudden the aide showed up. And they were like,
Oops.
All right, we don't have to do that now.
Okay.
All right, we're good.
That's sort of evidence there that there was a quid pro quo.
So,
but it's but that fact.
But it doesn't get him. I think the nation is still completely divided along the line of if you like what the president is doing, either you. Even if you don't like him, his personality as much as you just like the results here, you like the fact that your 401k is up and, whatever that is.
But the fact that it wasn't, what's important was the public statement of the alleged, of the fact that they were going to conduct an investigation. That's what the president cared about, not whether there would be an investigation.
Well, no one's surprised by that. I think it's already in the wash, honest to God. I mean, it's like, I'm not trying to defend it
no,
in
I'm
any
just
way,
saying
shape, or form. I'm just saying that I think in the American body politic right now, it's not going to make a difference. There is
you're
an
right.
election
no, it may not, it
coming
may
up, and it's going to be, boot edge, I think, is going to win this thing. I'm telling you right
all
now.
Right, well.
I got my money on him.
Okay.
He's trending in the right direction.
Although Deval Patrick is just getting in right now.
Yeah, New York Times had that scoop today.
There's another guy who's going to be at 2% by the middle of December.
Isn't Hillary claiming that she's being pressured to run?
Oh, please. That could be.
Many people are telling her she should get in, is what she quoted.
Is that
what
a lot of people are saying?
Many. I think there were three manys.
That's like when the president says, many people have said.
Yeah, this is what they're
saying. people
say
this to me.
I don't know if it's true, but that's what they're saying. Yeah. Who are they? I don't know. But it is okay, the idea of, I mean, a lot of people are going to be getting into this thing, but I honestly think that it's going to winnow out pretty fast here. And you're going to have an election, right? I think by the spring, we're going to know who the Democrat's going to be, and then it's going to be on.
Sure. Yeah, from what I saw today, I would guess that few minds were changed, that you kind of eat, no matter where you sit, you have something to chew on here, but there was no real bombshell, and that may change. As more and more people they go up the chain.
Is Bolton going to testify next
week? Well, see, now there's the thing.
Once he testifies.
So he's not, though.
Oh, he's not testifying?
Well, at this point, he's not scheduled to testify. They basically, and I think this is where Adam Schiff and the advisors who are doing, they've made a mistake because they want to get this all done before Thanksgiving because apparently they all have to get home. I don't know. So they can fight with their family about what's going on because I know I got to fight with my family. But the question is, why wouldn't you wait for Bolton? Why wouldn't you wait for the courts to do this? Now, Will Bolton, has been standing by, listen, I can't do this because I got to wait for the courts to rule whether or not I can actually go up and testify. He could just do it, too, and And I think he is even now conflicted about whether or not he wants to be the Republican spoiler, which he could be. And I think that's how he intended this thing to start. And now I think he's getting cold feet. And you can tell from that mustache. All right, Mike, thank you very much. Really appreciate it.
Thank you.
We got news from the Northwestern Medicine News.
I really can't stay.
Baby, it's cold outside.
I've got to go away.
Well, I can call you a ride.
This evening has been
I'm so, glad
so very nice.
Time spent with you is paradise.
My mama will
say. Want to play News or Ruse? Because this song feels like News or Ruse to me.
Sexiest man alive, John Legend.
We'll get to that in a second. 312-917-200 if you'd like to play News or Ruse. We're playing for the desktop Christmas trees. That's a fan favorite right there. The people love that. And everybody gets one of those who plays.
Oh.
That'll be nice.
How cool is that? Yep.
Artificial tree from Tree Time Christmas Creations.
Those are
our
awesome.
Our dear friends. Hey, this John Legend, Sexiest Man Alive. And they say, oh, well, because he did that song about wanting to send you an Uber to get you out of the house. I got to, let me just ask you a question.
Mm-hmm.
You ever got rushed out of a guy's house? In your life?
Rushed out.
Yeah.
Maybe kind of mutually rushed out. Like, all right.
Yeah.
You know?
This is not.
Yeah,
right.
It's not going.
Okay. Well, then you.
Where we
then,
think
then,
it might be going.
All right. Then you're not familiar with the issue. Because there are times when people don't take the hint. Too.
Oh, okay.
Right?
Like the evening's over.
Yeah, the evening's over now. And that's the, there's that.
So
right?
Nice to see you, and I called
you
an Uber.
His date had a good run.
Yes.
There's the door.
You mean that because you're not feeling it, or just because, hey, this has been a great night, and maybe we'll meet up again?
Either way, sometimes the date just doesn't go well, right? And it's just time to go, and and then there are people that, don't want to go.
See, that's why you don't go back to the house.
Some people just go back, though. And that is I'm just saying, we were discussing this on the TV earlier this week, and this is a situation. This can happen. So this whole idea of I'm calling you an Uber doesn't always like, hey, isn't like, oh, thank you for not spiking my drink and taking advantage of me, which is the whole response to this song, right? Isn't that the whole idea that the song
in the context of today, yes. That's how you read it.
Yes, right? So instead the idea is, hey, listen, we had a nice time. You came back, maybe we Netflixed a little bit, we didn't exactly chill, but we Netflixed. Mm-hmm. We had a glass of wine or whatever, and it's time, and it's like, I must go. Okay, you gotta go. All right. It's time to go. Fine.
I've got an early tea time tomorrow.
Right, so with that.
Is that you?
Then I'm like, oh, I got a church group. I got Yeah. I'm just saying that,
so that's what
can
he's
go
doing.
That can go both ways. And I just think that I think in this era, I think this idea that it's like only up to like one person to make the decision is, I think it's sexist, quite honestly. No?
I have waiver forms. We've talked about this before. Anybody that comes to the house, sign the waiver.
You get Mike Monaco to write those up for you.
Absolutely.
Remember, he was just, that's the only reason he was in studio today, is dropping him off for Kev.
I got a little something for Kev.
Here's
his middle of folder.
Right. Oh, we should have asked Mike about the guy, the pilot that got arrested for being naked in his hotel.
Yeah. That weird story.
I've got a baker's box size of documents people have to sign when they come in. I just hand it to him, sign it here, and we're good to go.
Mike actually lives in my living room. He's just, you just come in, you sign.
In-house
Why
counsel.
Is he here?
He's got some, there's some paperwork. Why,
was he in the closet the whole time? He's just like set up at a desk in the corner.
Can I open up a bottle of wine? You can have it after you sign these papers. I don't know. Whatever.
Well, I thought in this new song that John Legend and Kelly Clarkson do, I thought the woman is saying, I'm not feeling it. And so he says, I'll call you an Uber. Is it not?
But here's
like
the thing about this song, though. It's like, just don't even do it.
Yeah.
Who listens to that and is like, what a relief. My favorite song that's politically incorrect in 2019,
right.
I can listen to it again.
Again.
People are either going to listen to the original or not listen
again,
to the original.
Again, you don't need to reach back to 1944 if you want to correct misogynistic lyrics. We have enough of those in the last few years. You could actually pluck out a song or two from the last 10 years, the last decade, if you wanted to. Remake those.
Just didn't seem necessary. And I don't think anybody's listening to the new one being like, oh, thank God we can listen to
it. Is he the sexiest man alive because he did this song, though?
I think that appeals to his you know, the people
really?
Who love him.
I think that he's a good guy. Yeah.
Yeah, it comes across as a good guy. He looks like a baby, though, doesn't he? His face is kind of babyish.
He looks very young.
He's 50, isn't he?
I think he might be, but he doesn't look like
he's
that.
He's not a piece of meat, guys. Come on.
Yeah, right.
It's 2019.
Even his wife calls him a baby, and she solicits people sending baby pictures that look like him.
For Chrissy Teigen, I've got some paperwork I need her to sign, too. All right. Thank you.
You wish.
Lauren Lapka has got her eye on the skies and the roads.
And now, the Rokon Show presents News or Ruse, a true game of true wit and skill. And now, here's your master of ceremonies, Rokon.
Thank you, Mr. Duffy. All right, we got the kids from News or Ruse. You want to play? 312-981-7200 is our telephone number. We just had one drop off, so we're getting replaced right now. So,
not meet the selection kind of criteria?
I think she freaked out. I'm being told that we had somebody
who
got nervous.
It's fun.
Yes. What could possibly go wrong?
Nothing.
No,
never does.
Family hears you say something wrong, and you're never forgiven. And Thanksgiving's right around the corner. That's where
remember
all the trouble
that time
starts.
You didn't get that really easy answer.
Second correct? City's ETC's 43rd review, Grinning from Fear to Fear, is now playing at the Second City. Go to secondcity.com. We got two of the performers here. Mark Campbell and EJ Cameron are with us right now. And now you guys are originally from, you're from Glen Ellyn, right, Mark?
Yeah, I am.
Okay, and EJ, you from Chicago? Or are you?
No, I'm from Smyrna, Georgia.
Smyrna, Georgia?
Oh, just like Julia Roberts.
That's my one fact.
I've ever heard. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's it. Mm-hmm. You blew my fact. That's it. All right, so I'm done.
All right, now we're done. Thanks for stopping by, guys.
Yeah, great having you. Shout out to Julia Roberts.
We got to promote you, not her. So more to say.
Let me tell you what we're playing for here. $75 gift certificate from Green Tea Home Services for all your home service needs, including garage door maintenance, air duct purification, carpet cleaning, 805-GREEN-TEA, or go to greenteaservices.com. And everybody gets a certificate for a desktop pre-lit, sports-themed artificial tree from Tree Time Christmas Creations. For everything Christmas, visit treetime.com or their Christmas showroom on Pepper Road in Lake Barrington. This is, honest to God, this is like a movie that you see on TNT over and over and over and over again during the Christmas season. This is we're very Christmassy around here.
Oh, okay. Yeah, you can't help it. Halloween's done. It's time to move on.
It's like, get that tree up.
Yeah. So how long you guys been with Second City?
I don't know. I guess like 3-4 years officially, like working for Second City. Yeah.
Yeah, about the same.
And things are going well. How long is the review?
We opened like mid-April or so, and then we're running through January.
Okay.
So it'll be about a 9-month run.
Does it change during the run? It's the same show.
Yeah, it'll be the same show the entire time we're running, and then when Second City goes into process to create a new show, that's when it's totally different every single night.
Got it.
Yeah.
Oh, to get working stuff out.
Yeah, you're working it out. You're testing it out.
Yeah, I get it. I'm always working stuff out.
It's a family tradition for me. Around the holidays, we take the whole family out to the Second City shows, it always delights. I mean, really does. Even international family that come in, they just love it, love it, love it. You guys do a good job on all the stages, because there's like the main stage, then there's the ETC, and then are there other stages I'm not paying attention to?
We have the Up Theater with She the People. That's going on. There's like other smaller
theaters. That's been going on for a while, though.
Yeah.
I think they changed it a little bit.
Okay.
Yeah. But it's still going.
Nice.
Okay.
Great work.
Here we go. Plug time's over, kids. Well, now we're going to play for some real
time to get unplugged.
Serious up a little bit.
Right. We're going to play for some serious Christmas tree stuff and free and clean carpets. All right, here we go. James is playing with Kim. James, you there?
Yes, I'm here.
All right, Donna's playing with Lauren.
Yep, I'm here, Lauren.
And Dennis is playing with Mark and EJ.
Dennis, we got it.
See, statistically, Dennis, you'd be the favorite. You'd be the even money favorite right now, because you got two guys. They seem like they know what they're doing, but they also seem like they're on drugs. So
yes.
I think
very helpful for this game.
We should go along just fine. I'm on Allegra. I should clarify.
Yeah, it's NyQuil. Goodness.
How else are you going to sleep?
Yeah.
All right. And how else are you going to keep the kids asleep? All right, James and Kim, here is your headline. Florida community.
Already.
Florida community disturbed by emotional support rooster.
I think that's true. That's news.
Okay, here's the thing, James. I got caught last week by saying, it's Florida. It's definitely news.
Right.
And I got, I'm probably overthinking this.
Okay,
I'm going to say news.
You're not going to say news? All right, he said music. Yep. You're giving me one news. All right, news. That's
you got it.
Hey.
Well done. Donna and Lauren, try not to take as much time, please. Toronto University astronomer booted from annual meeting after faking heart attack to avoid presenting botched study.
I could see that being news, and if so, that's hilarious. What do you think, Donna?
I think it's news, too, Lauren.
Oh, gosh, these headline writers are amazing. Oh,
no, he faked a stroke, not a heart attack. That was the difference. All right. Dennis, Mark, and EJ, here we go. Here is your headline.
Who's making toast?
Hepatitis outbreak halts production of MTV's Florabama Shore.
Oh.
Oh, God.
Man, that would be the only thing that could halt that production.
I'm going to say ruse. Is that finally hepatitis going to stop MTV now? Come on.
I don't know. I'm thinking news, but you guys both say ruse. I'm good with that.
And
you got it. They called it out.
I just want to tell you right now, EJ's been around show business long enough to know that the show goes on no matter what's going on.
Yeah. I'm here right now.
Do you have any admissions you want to make about your health? No.
Yeah, I'll tell you later.
James and Kim, back to you.
Yeah.
Here it is. Japan is having a shortage of ninjas despite offering $85,000 salary.
Oh, wow. I think that's news. What do you think?
I think that's false. That's ruse.
Okay. It is true. They don't have enough ninjas.
Yeah. Yep. It's you know what? There's a ninja shortage. I mean, the problem is, you know, the parents aren't raising their kids to be ninjas anymore.
Yeah,
right?
It's a family
too dangerous.
Business.
Right. Yeah. It's like football. You know, kids, you're going to get hurt. You might get a sword through the eyeball.
They should go recruiting at that ninja place, that ninja zone over by Bradley Place.
Sure.
You know, by
I like it.
WGN TV.
I got to keep this guy around. He is our best audience ever. All right.
You need him at your shows. A guy who laughs that.
Please.
He's like a laugh track.
Donna and Lauren, here is your headline. Inventor charging $50,000 for rain denies preying on farmers.
I don't know. What do you think, Donna?
I'm going to go with news.
Okay, let's go news.
Ooh. Nice. Well played.
Look at that.
Dennis, Dennis, Mark, and EJ.
We got it.
All right.
Hedge clipper wielding meth user steals milk.
Is this Florida
Hedge clipper wielding meth user steals milk.
Yeah, I'm going to go news. What do you guys, what do you think?
That hits the holy trifecta of news.
Yeah.
Florida news.
That's it.
What about that's not true, right? Oh, very good.
Right, exactly. You're like, what's the best weapon I got available to me right now? Let's see, crowbar. Oh, I got a hedge clipper. Yes!
And I'm thirsty.
Yeah, to be fair, I needed cereal, so sorry about that one.
Fruit Loop craving.
All right, here we go. And now this is the Orion Samuelson round. We go right to it. No breaks are needed. James and Kim, here is your headline as read by radio legend, Hall of Famer, Orion Samuelson.
Twins on way to Twins Festival pulled over for second time.
Oh, that! I think that sounds like news. What do you think?
That sounds like news. Yes, news.
That is correct.
Just have to keep James laughing.
He's the best. You know what? This
James,
guy's higher than
second
you guys
city.
Are. Love this. All right, here we go. Donna and Lauren, here's your headline.
Florida man arrested after trying to order meth by calling 911.
Oh, boy. Can never trust Florida man stories.
What do you think, Lauren?
I can definitely see this being news. And we already had a ruse that we got wrong, so I'm not sure.
Got to make a decision.
Well, let's go news.
You're going news, and
gosh.
Oh, that's too bad.
Are they out?
Yeah, they're out.
Oh,
and now,
Donna.
And now Florida, here man. For the win. Here we go. Dennis,
no
Mark, and EJ, here is Orion Samuelson and your headlines.
Cigarettes and cans of beer not appropriate as funeral gifts, a priest tells parish in newsletter.
Who would you give the gift to? Not the dead guy.
Yeah, he's not using them. That sounds like a reasonable thing that a priest would say.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, you put things... Yeah, absolutely. I want news on that.
I've seen weird things put in.
You got
it.
Hey! Somehow that's news.
That's the big win right there. All right, hold on. Everybody collects their winnings here, their booty, as we like to say. You know, what's interesting about that, I think what they mean, because, you know, people go and they leave stuff in the casket.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, and that's, I always find that to be really weird. I like to pretend I went to the casket. I like to be the guy that kind of looks for somebody else who's dressed in a suit like mine and then waits for that guy to go to the casket. I go behind and I come back around and I'm like, oh, yeah, I was there. Oh, my God, she looks like she's sleeping.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then it's like, oh, it's my father. And you're like, oh, anyway.
You have a funeral routine.
Yeah, I do.
It's a routine for everything.
Yes, I do. Well, there's a whole thing. Mm-hmm. I don't like to go up. And then there's people, like the person died of lung cancer and leaving like
cigarettes
literally like one cigarette. And then you've got the guy who's like the full Snickers bar guy for Halloween that leaves like an entire, you know, like case of cigarettes. It's the dumbest thing ever.
Unless they ask for it. No, they want to be buried with it.
But if they're getting cremated, it's kind of fun.
The whole thing.
One last
ashes
smoke.
Are menthol.
Yeah. All right. Wait, hold on. Let me tell you what the prizes were one more time, because that's the most important thing, because that's what these people are paying for. $75 gift certificate from Green Tea Home Services for all your home service needs, including garage door maintenance, air duct purification, carpet cleaning, 805-GREEN-TEA or greenteaservices.com. And everybody rips us off for a desktop pre-lit sports-themed artificial tree from Tree Time Christmas Creations. Everything Christmas. Visit treetime.com or the Christmas showroom on Pepper Road in Lake Barrington. All right. Well, this is very, very fun. You guys are Mark Campbell and EJ Cameron from Second City's ETC's 43rd review, Grinning from Fear to Fear. SecondCity.com for tickets. And what is show 6 days a week? How many days a week?
Thursday through Sunday.
What is that?
What is that?
One, two, three, four.
That's 4 days a week, but six shows.
Two on Friday, two on Saturday.
You got it.
8 and 11 o'clock.
And then in December, we'll be adding more shows. So we'll be doing, I think, Wednesday or Tuesday through Sunday. So check the website.
For your holiday needs.
When does the show come down? When do they change the reviews?
January.
Yeah. And then does it go dark, or do you just start working stuff out?
Immediately start working on a new show.
Okay. It's like a filter. So while we start doing the old show, we start bringing in new things and putting things out. And it's always moving.
Right.
Yeah.
You perform the show. Do you write for it as well? That's part of the requirement.
Uh-huh.
That you guys all get together and you figure this stuff out.
Yeah, it's all original material.
That's awesome. Yeah. I love that. It's really remarkable.
And then there's a guy who's got to take a night off, or a guy or a woman, because the next thing you know, they're auditioning quietly in front of Lauren Michaels. And then, you know, the next thing you know, they're back.
It happens a lot.
And then they say, oh, no, I wasn't really in New York right now. I know how this goes.
You know, okay. Yeah. You figured it out.
Yeah, that's how it goes. There's only 43 years of this already, right?
Yeah.
So, I know exactly what's going on back there. And then they're being coy. And then there's the one that thinks he's about to get fired, who goes, sorry, a live called. Yeah, I'm gonna go in there. All right, congratulations, guys. Thanks so much for being here. Appreciate it.
Thank you for having us.
Thanks,
very
Mark,
much. Appreciate
thanks
it.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
A lot of fun. All right, Kim Gordon is standing by. She's got the WGN news right now. What? All right, it's the Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis right here on 720 WGN. We've got a lot going on here today. Trying to balance everything. I just found out tomorrow we're bringing in the former National Security Advisor and a Navy Admiral, Mike Rogers, is a big time guy. He's going to tell us how to keep our computers safe. does that seem like it's overkill, or is that something the Rokan Show would do? Because it's sort of like, what are we going to do? We got to get a guy. We got a guy for everything, right? We got a guy.
He's a big guy.
Yeah,
important guy.
So he'll be here for that. That'll be a ton of fun. Hey, let me tell you also, before we get started on this very interesting, we have an interesting playlist of songs for you that we'd like to play. We have found the worst political jingles of all times. And it turns out there's a list out of the worst political jingles of all times. And Hillary gets two of them on the top 10 worst political jingles of all times. Is it because it's hard to rhyme things with Hillary?
Kind of is.
Except for pillory, which is not so good.
No.
You don't need that.
You wouldn't want to go there.
Right. Chillery.
Hmm.
But before we do that, let me just tell you that we are going to be doing the annual Christmas show again, Carnarvon Express, at the Tinley Park Convention Center this year. It's going to be there, and it's going to be on the 6th of December. And, of course, it's an event for Toys for Tots, the United States Marine Corps Reserve's Toys for Tots. They're going to be out there. All we're asking you to do, you don't even have to make a reservation this year. You can just stop by. Live show from 3 to 5:30, and then a concert from the Ides of March after 5:30. Absolutely free. There's going to be, oh, yeah, there are going to be bars. It's cash bars, unfortunately, but there are going to be bars. I'll buy you a drink. Don't worry about it. You're going to enjoy yourself. There's going to be food. There's going to be prizes. There's going to be a lot of really cool stuff, including theater tickets. How about
very
that?
Nice.
All we're asking is that you bring at least one new unwrapped toy or game for kids of all ages, not gift wrapped. Don't take it out of the box. You know, just leave
don't
it. You
use
know
it
you
or
do.
Play with it. Just
right.
Bring it.
Exactly. I will play with it later. I go through.
You're not supposed to do that.
So, and it's all brought to us by American Sale, presented by American Sale. Bring the fun home for the holidays, and sponsored by Apple Chevrolet and Architect of Chicagoland. I want to say something about Apple Chevrolet. You can go down and start dropping off toys right now. They have decorated their showroom for this right now, 8585 West 159th Street in Tinley Park. You can stop by. They got the Silverados out. You can drop a gift into a Silverado. They got a red Silverado and a white Silverado, and then one is for boys and one is for girls, and you can just throw the stuff in there.
Dad was just down there today, Ro.
You were?
My dad was.
Oh, your dad was.
Rocking that blazer that you pitched him on.
Yeah. I got a lot of stuff I got to work on there. We're going down there. We're going to shoot a little video, I think, on Friday. So, you know, yeah, real nice.
Are you going to dress up in a Santa costume? Oh, it's not for the event. Not for the Christmas show.
No, it's for the Christmas show.
Oh.
Yeah. Because I'm not going down there to... they have the most amazing giving spirit down there.
They
really do.
They're genuinely nice people.
Yeah, John Alfirovich is amazing. So they and his wife Chris and the whole family, they're amazing, and all the people who work down there. And so they do this every year, and they make such a big deal out of raising the toys for us. It's really great. So stop by, drop stuff off, and then we will give everything to the Marines at the Tinley Park Convention Center on the 6th of December, including all the stuff that you bring for that. And we'll stop and we'll have a drink or two, and we will watch the Ides of March. And we'll watch Jim Peterick's hair turn from dark to light purple during the show. I don't know why it does it like that, but it does. All right.
Hey, by the way, Ro, remember when you questioned the Kaepernick situation?
I did,
yes. I was like, you know what? I think every team should go. And you're like, why would the Patriots go? Well, the Patriots are going to the Colin Kaepernick workout Saturday.
To heckle him? Why are they going?
Because I think every team should be going. Like, why wouldn't you have someone there?
But doesn't it then just become an event of, okay, we're so sorry. We're just
like a PR stunt is what some people are calling it.
Right. Okay, we're sorry that we fired you for taking, you know, for a dignified
protest.
Sorry.
Well, why are you giving them Canadian accents?
I don't know, because there's only in hockey do they apologize for anything.
And it sounds genuine, like they really were sorry. They knocked I knocked your teeth in when I punched you.
Yeah. That gotta hurt. But I mean, it's like, you know, Colin Kaepernick, I mean, the whole thing, that moment has sort of passed, but he just became fodder for this entire political moment that is occurring.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like and you look at it and you stop and you think about of all the different kinds of protests and things that people say to and about each other. And, you know, here was a guy that his issue was he was worried about African Americans and encounters with police, and I happen to disagree with him on some of that. But I support his right to, if he wanted to take a knee, which is, by the way, that's kind of a very respectful thing to do when you're doing, if you're going to protest something, taking a knee is taking a knee.
Maybe this is
quietly doing it. I was never totally offended by that.
Maybe this is Russia or somebody just trying to plant this whole thing to make us start arguing with each other again.
Russia's paying for the Colin Kaepernick.
Right.
Taking like, control of it's all Roger Goodell.
When he was taking knees, all we did was scream at each other.
I know, that's true. That, and they want that back because it's an election year.
Exactly.
They want that back. It's going to be, they're actually broadcasting it live on RT. Right. And Larry King is going to be hosting it. Colin Kaepernick, hello. By the way, let's see you take a knee on both knees. One knee. Okay, now the other knee. Now another knee. Knee. That's not going to be part of the workout, is it? Because that seems like that would be inappropriate. All right, let's check in with Lauren Lapko. What's on the roads and what's in the sky? News coming your way from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom at the top of the hour. David Jennings. All right, now, see the Mediaite, the website, had a really funny, I found it entertaining story, about the the best and worst U.S. presidential campaign songs in history. And somehow, some way, some of these have stuck throughout time. Because, you know, this is something we don't even do anymore. Now it's just attack ads.
Right. It's that dark music that kind of has a really unflattering picture of your opponent with headlines about all the bad, horrible things they've done to people.
Right, exactly.
You know, that's kind of the standard.
Joe Smith is a serial killer. And he voted for Obama.
That's
okay.
That's how they sound.
Exactly.
That's exactly how they sound.
All right. Let's go with number one here. I just wonder how this holds up. This is from 1972. It's almost 50 years old. That 70s kind of...
More than ever, Nixon now for you and me.
Nixon now for you and me.
Is that like This Land Is Your Land?
Yeah, it's sort of like that. Or it's almost, you can imagine, this is something the Brady Bunch would be wearing like onesies and singing about.
The Sha-na-na-na-na song from the Brady Bunch? Kind of sounds the same.
All right. You think that's something.
When Bobby Brady's voice cracked, remember that?
Did you know that there...
Was it Peter? I think it was Peter.
Did you...
Peter, sorry.
That is... Did you know that in 2008, Hillary had a song?
Hillary, for you and me, I bring back our democracy. This country proud and free.
Yeah, how did she not win with this?
Oh, boy. Where did they hide that one? I never heard it.
I know. You'd figure that'd be everywhere.
That one almost has a ABC kind of vibe.
That's what it was, yeah.
I have a feeling that actually Putin wrote that one.
Gosh.
Big Michael Jackson fan.
And then, this actually was a very, very famous one. This actually is credited with really being helpful for John F. Kennedy.
Everyone is voting for Jack because he's got what all the rest lack.
And it's Sinatra.
Everyone wants to back Jack. Jack is on the right track because he's got...
Now, what's interesting about, there's a backstory to this. You know, Sinatra, did all this work for Kennedy, including talking to a few guys back here in Chicago about them making sure that, the vote ended up the way the vote ended up. You hear what I'm saying? Know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I hear what you're saying. I've heard a thing or two about that.
Right? He did everything he could possibly do to help Jack. And then, when Kennedy became president, he was supposed to go to Sinatra's house in Palm Springs and do a fundraiser there and, like, hang out with him and play golf and do all that. And it was sort of like the payback of, I got the young, vital president. And Kennedy blew him off. And then...
Rude. Sinatra?
Yeah, and Sinatra became an immediate Republican right then and there.
But Kennedy looked like he could have been a member of the Rat Pack.
Yes.
It totally suits him.
Yeah.
It's not just Sinatra singing the jingle. It's that he sort of works for him.
Well, Peter Lawford was his brother-in-law, right? It's the brother-in-law of the Kennedys, or Jack's brother-in-law. So that was kind of an interesting. And then Lawford was a member of that. And when you watch those Rat Pack movies now, and you go back and you just kind of think about all of that, and you think about where all those guys were connected to all those different things, and all of a sudden the guy, that Norman Fell guy who was on Three's Company, he was like a badass in the Rat Pack, and you're like, that guy? Mr. Roper? Really? All right. Oh, there's another Hillary song. This one from 2016. Now, again, how did this one elude us?
This is our fight song. Take back our life song.
Oh, God.
Oh my God. Right now, I'll be strong.
But isn't that a real song?
Well, yeah, Rachel Platten. But then there's a guy in there that sounds like a cheesy lounge act.
Like, if anyone, does anyone, these don't even really exist anymore, right? Like,
well, that's from 2016.
Oh.
That's from 2016. I mean, so the idea is you put somebody of every different, like, that was the whole idea. You put, like, a man, a woman, every different ethnicity.
Diversity.
Right. You have to have a they. You have to have a Martian in there.
See, at this point, if you're doing it, you should do sort of like the... like the Sinatra S style of it. Because when you try to do these in today's society, it's just embarrassing.
Well, let's go back to 1964. Here you go.
Mm-hmm.
Hello, Lyndon. Well, hello, Lyndon. It's just great to have you there where you belong.
Oh, my God.
You're looking swell, Lyndon.
All right. Thank you.
It's catchy.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's a... See, these are just songs that they just added different lyrics to.
Yeah.
That's Hello, Dolly.
Mm-hmm.
But it's Lyndon Johnson.
Yeah.
Who was basically belching his way through the... You know, you get up there in this big hat. Thank you all for having me up here. My pants don't fit exactly right now.
Listener 708 pointing out that the Mary J... Is there a Mary J. Blige singing to Hillary? The cringiest song ever, by far.
Oh, I don't know. Native American never going to elect a woman. All right. Wait, Barack Obama had one in 2012. Who knew that?
Oh, he did.
You can't give up on hope. Each other's hand we hold. We're on a long
haul. Oh, I see what they're doing here.
We pull each other up. We
progressive country.
So we all have.
Okay. All right. Yeah. See. What is it?
Yeah. I don't know. Mm-hmm. Did these really work?
The only ones that I thought worked was like the Sinatra ones. And...
Let's go to number eight here. This is a Jimmy Carter one. He's not dead, is he? I don't want to play this if he's dead. He's not. Okay.
No.
All right.
He's
okay.
He had all right. A few problems.
I heard a young man speaking out just the other day, so I stopped to take a listen to what he had to say. He spoke straight and simple. By that I was impressed. He said, once and for all, why not the best?
Yeah, okay.
That's exactly what I would expect out of a Jimmy Carter political jingle.
Totally fits
though.
Him. You're right.
There's a guy walking through a field.
There is a Trump song from 2016. Did you know that?
No.
Yeah.
No idea.
Got it.
I didn't know about any of these.
Cowardice. Are you serious? Apologies for freedom. I can't handle this.
I remember this.
When freedom brings
answer the call.
On your feet,
stand up tall.
Freedom's on our shoulders.
USA.
Enemy.
This sounds like something that Maria Butina wrote while behind bars.
Actually, I do remember watching the video of the two like little girls doing a choreographed dance.
Yeah, like
dance
a militant march. Remember that?
It's yeah.
Like sounds a bunch like of little kids doing this song.
It sounds like it belongs on Nickelodeon.
Yeah, I remember watching the video when it came out. Everyone's like,
you do remember
that?
Now, here's one for George Wallace, inveterate racist. Now, what are you going to do here? Oh, yeah, that's what you're going to do.
Came up the ranks like any other man. Scholar, attorney, governor, too. Now he's ready for 72.
Oh, God.
Georgie Wallace.
Georgie Wallace. Wearing a hood. Building the news. Georgie Wallace. Oh, God. And then, oh, wait. This is for Rand Paul. Not Rand Paul. For Ron Paul. Because Ron Paul ran, and he had all the stoners.
Thank Dr. Paul for curing my disease. Apathy nearly debilitated me. YouTube free speech. Listen when he speaks the truth. The
oh, my God. All right. Okay. All right, we're done.
I don't know.
That's it. I can't have it. One more minute of this. This is just it's too much. We got the news coming your way in 2 minutes.